Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair Radio show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
You, moonlight, you're my light.
a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Much for having me again. I feel like that this is just my second home, so I'm
Well, it is. I just have to say, first of all, I want to definitely take a moment to acknowledge this. I mean, you have always been our biggest supporters. You really have, here at the Hair Radio Show and throughout all of our endeavors. And I want to take a moment just to really kind of drive this on home. I remember you appeared in my, well, first of all, you appeared on the amazing Hair Radio Show as we were just kind of getting back on the ground with the all-new Hair Radio Show back when we came back in like the early, I guess that was the late 2000s, I guess it was. It's been a long time of the tens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You came right on in and have always been a great person. We still run some of those amazing pieces with so much. They're chock full of hair information. And we're going to get into some of that today. But I just want to thank you for that. Not to mention your appearance in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. You know, you helped that book to do so well. And I have to say, for those of you who haven't read it yet, it's still out there on Amazon. We'll soon be celebrating 10 years of this book's release. And I owe a whole bunch of that to Dr. Pranique James. So I just wanted to say thank you. And you've been doing some big stuff. And, you know, how about when you came out to help us at the Road to Healthy Hair, the very first Road to Healthy Hair? And, yes, in like 2013 or so. I mean, you've been out there a long time with us. And now we're back with the all-new Road to Healthy Hair that we'll talk about soon. So listen, all that to say thank you. But, Pranique, what goes through your mind when you hear that we're up to our 600th radio show very soon? What goes through your mind?
Oh, my goodness, a lot goes through my mind. And just to think that I've been able to contribute. And Carrie, I just want to thank you for the opportunity or giving me an opportunity to be such a part of an amazing history with the Hair Radio. you know, I thank you. And you've opened up the doors for so many in this industry. And just
thank
to be
you.
A part of it, so to say, hey, I was a part of it. I'm a part of it. I'm grateful for that. So that's pretty much runs through my mind, being grateful to be a part of
it. You are very much deserving. So thank you, and we are happy to be here to be doing our thing. 600 broadcasts of a three-hour show. That's amazing. Now, listen, speaking of amazing, let's turn the mic back over to Dr. James here. Listen, you have done quite a bit, and officially you are a trichologist. So I have got to tell the folks, and not just a trichologist, which is awesome and wonderful, we love that, but also a naturopathic doctor, correct? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Yes.
And so, yes, and these things, I want you to tell our audience, tell everybody, Dr. Pranit James, because maybe some may not understand exactly what a trichologist does versus a naturopathic doctor and all of that. Fill us all in here at the Hair Radio Show.
Absolutely. Well, a trichologist, Carrie, is someone who has studied the science of hair and the scalp. So I do work very closely with men, women, and children suffering from various scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get their hair to a healthy state. Now, I decided to take it a step further with my naturopathic background, taking that multi-therapy approach, because about 97% of the patients I treat have a nutritional deficiency, which, of course, contributes to the hair loss. So I like to get the culture versus, you know, spinning the wheels of the, you know, the patient or the consumer. A lot of consumers do not realize that the hair is the barometer of your health. So a lot of times if you have issues stemming from the scalp or your hair just suddenly starts to fall out, it's something that needs to be redirected to the body system. So that's the approach I use. And by me using that approach, I have a very successful or a very phenomenal success rate.
I have to say this. When you say the hair is the barometer to the hair, you know what went through my mind? I thought to myself, I said, well, hold it. What is gray hair the barometer? Is that the barometer that you're getting old here? Well, I couldn't help but think that. But listen, I understand. I'm making fun. But you know what? You've hit on such important points there, Dr. Pranit. I just have to say, and you're absolutely right. I have to talk about some of these, you know, when it comes to hair loss, we have to let folks know on some of those wonderful descriptive, what do they call, like, you know, for the one that, like for abuse, when people are abusing their hair and they start to, their hair falls out and all of that thinning, you know, it starts to thin and so forth, and then they sometimes, let's go back. Let's start with the alopecia. Just give us a breakdown, a rundown, Dr. James, of some of these alopecias that are out there. There are too many to actually list, but, you know, but give us a few.
Yeah, there are quite a few. But we'll kind of touch on the most typical types of alopecia that I see. Pretty much on an everyday, you know, basis within my practice, one being alopecia areata, which is normally misdiagnosed. And that's important, too, being diagnosed properly. Because a lot of times patients that come into my office that have previously visited a dermatologist, and just to kind of point out, derma means skin and trich means hair. So a lot of times we're going to the dermatologist, and they're taking more so a synthetic approach. Providing you with cortisone injections and so forth, and just in general being misdiagnosed. So when we think of alopecia areata, alopecia in general is when your hair follicle starts to attack the immune system. It doesn't recognize when something is out of range within your body, your immune system doesn't recognize the hair follicle, so it starts to attack the hair follicles. So that's what causes the hair loss. So that's alopecia. Alopecia is hair loss. Now, when we get into alopecia areata, alopecia areata is a perfect mosaic circle that can appear anywhere on the head. okay? And normally when that happens is when someone has experienced traumatic or chronic stress. I find that to be very typical in a case where someone works for the government, or they work for high-stress jobs wherein this is just part of their norm every day, in and out, chronic stress. So a lot of times they'll, you know, come in the office and they have this perfect mosaic circle that appear in the back of their head, on the side, on the top. But the way that you identify alopecia areata is a perfect circle, okay? And if it goes untreated, it can go into alopecia totalis, where they lose all facial
all
the, hair.
Yeah.
They lose hair on the head and the facial hair. If it goes untreated, then it can go into what is called alopecia universalis, wherein they lose all
everywhere.
All exactly. So that's a very common form. The second form that I'm seeing very typical within the African American community is traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is
that's the one I was trying to think of earlier.
Yes,
yes, the traction alopecia. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So traction alopecia is when you've caused trauma to the hair follicle, tight braids, glue, overprocessing of chemical, you know, relaxers, et cetera. So if it's caught in its earlier stages, of course, it can be, you know, restored if you had about a 50%. Also, a lot of consumers do not realize that the hair loss actually happens in stages, just like any major disease, stages 1 through 4. So my patient and I conduct a microscopic analysis. So that tells me exactly what stage they're in, what, you know, whether or not the follicles are dormant, you know, if they have any activity, you know, et cetera. So that's the second form. And the last one I want to kind of discuss is, and, you know, of course, there's so many. We can go on and on. But for time's sake purposes, I would probably address androgenetic alopecia, where it's genetically inclined. And it can form in two different types of shapes or types. You have male pattern baldness or patterns, male pattern baldness or female pattern baldness. Now, it's not uncommon that a male can have female pattern baldness, okay? That's when you maintain the hairline and the hair loss starts behind the hairline. Okay, and then, of course, you have male pattern baldness, kind of reminds you of George Jefferson, you know, type of shape.
The donut.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. So that's how you identify the type of hair loss. Now, normally, if you know that hair loss, you know, occurs in your family, it is hereditary, you want to start to take those proactive steps to protect the hair follicle, to care for the hair, you know, et cetera. But those are the most commonly forms. Of course, we can get into scarring alopecia, which is normally misdiagnosed, but that can be caused by chemical damage, pressing combs, and a lot of toxins built up within the follicle. Yeah, so.
Well, I love it. I mean, I appreciate the information, so I do love that you're sharing this, because that is the thing in the community. We don't take the time. We just want what we want. We want the styles. We want this. We want that. And we don't take enough time with our hair until it's sometimes too late. But I appreciate you taking a moment to share. Dr. Pranit James is our guest today on the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I've also got to say, Dr. James, I am so excited because we've launched our 24-hour network of Hair and Beauty Talk. So if you're not listening live, you're listening back to our amazing playback on our 24-hour network. So that's over at HAIRadio.com, where we play Hair and Beauty Talk around the clock. So I just want to say you're of the first to be with us again as we have relaunched this 24-hour network. So is that not just awesome?
That is amazing. I'm so
excited.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Now, I have to turn to, in recent times, you've come back to the Hair Radio show, our blog talk show, and we've talked about this a little bit from time to time, but I really want to delve into it. Now, a lot of folks are dealing, let me just kind of change over a little bit to beard care. Beards are big. Big business. Yeah, and I did not know that it was going to be this big when I set out to create my products. So I want to talk about your products now, Dr. Pranit James. Okay. So, yes, and I want to talk about all of this that you have discovered in the beard. I call it the beard business. So tell us what this is all about, and who is the Beard Huntress? Fill us in. Dr. Pradeep J. Fill us in.
Let me start off to say, Carrie, that a lot, especially within our industry, a lot of stylists are really sleeping on the beard industry. Right now, the beard industry is over a $23 billion industry and is expecting to rise at about 7.7% by 2025. So if you are not within the industry, if you are not engaging within beard care, you need to. So I want to start off, you know, just as for the business side of it, definitely is worth taking a look at. From my perspective, me as the beard huntress, let me get into that. That actually started out as a really fun project for me because, you know, I'm normally serious and a serious
Yes.
So for me to look, that's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? Looks like But what, you know, what I do. So I started out in the beer industry about 3 years ago. I branded myself as the Beer Huntress. My tagline has always been, why trust your beard to anyone else? And then when I came out with this really fun and trendy logo, it's like, oh, my God, what is Dr. Pranit James doing?
So
I had a fun project. But as I got into it, Carrie, I realized that, hey, the beard is hair, right? So that's the approach that I took, even with formulating my beard care line. I took that scientific trichology approach. Now, I already had a brand that was recognized and it was trusted. You know, people knew me for growing the hair back. When they had a hair issue, they would come to me to help restore the hair. So the that's the approach I took, and even with me formulating my beard care line, I formulated my beard care line around the science of the hair. So that's why my, you know, my beard gentlemen, they're seeing such amazing results. You know, they want their beard to grow. You know, they want to fill in those areas that are not connecting. They have bald patches. The beard is dry. It's the same thing as the hair. So, again, I took that approach, and I formulated my, you know, beard care line to promote that fast beard growth. It, you know, repairs, it activates the hair follicle, it softens the conditions, and it's going to provide that gentleman with a healthy, shining luster. So throughout the duration of my career, I just kind of listened prior to formulating my own line. I kind of listened to the many challenges that the gentlemen were experiencing, and that's kind of how I formulated the line. And at the end of the day, when my customers, when these bearded gentlemen use my line, I can be confident that they're going to actually achieve the goals that they desire for their beard. And at the end of the day, the beard is always the hair, the bearded hair and the skin is always going to go back to its proper pH of 4.5 to 5.5. I look at everything as a trichologist in numbers. If it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. So that's how I look at it.
Well, very good. And what I'd like to add to that is that you don't have to have your own Dr. Pradeep James, but you know, as a scientist, as a person who is in, you are the official trichologist as far as I'm concerned, and you know the hair business. So we love it. And I love the products. You know, so I want to tell everybody, absolutely, let's talk about the products a little bit. Give the official name and describe some of the products that you have released in this line. We're not going to keep it a secret. Go ahead and tell everybody.
Absolutely not. My particular product line, and I'll get into what I'm releasing. I'm going to let it out the hat today.
Awesome.
My original beard care line, I launched 2 months ago. I did a pre-sale, and as soon as I put it out there, Carrie, it sold out completely. So I'm like,
wow.
Oh, my God. So that was confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. But getting more into my beard care line, my original line consists of 6 products, okay? Of course, I have the beard wash. It's for all beard types. So that's going to cleanse and hydrate the beard. Especially right now during the hotter months, it's very important that my bearded gentlemen shampoo their beard every day, especially if they're really active, they perspire a lot, they exercise, they work out, because the sweat from the minerals of the sweat deposits on the hair shaft or the beard shaft, and it makes that beard very dry and brittle. So it's very important to have a clean, clear foundation before coming in with any of the products. So that's going to take care of the itchiness, properly cleanse. So that's the first product, and that comes in an 8.8 ounce. A lot of the lines that I see on the market, they're pretty much offering maybe a 4 ounce or 6 ounce.
Exactly, yeah. So you're giving a lot. You're really giving a lot of product.
Exactly. And by my product line being highly concentrated, they don't have to use a whole lot. So my products will last them anywhere, depending upon the length and the density of the beard. It can last that gentleman anywhere between 3 to 12 months. So
that's amazing.
It's very cost effective as well.
Exactly.
So second product I've added to my line is also an 8.8 ounce beard conditioner. The beard conditioner, a lot of times when you look at a beard care line, they skip over the conditioner. Normally they'll do like a balancing shampoo that has the conditioner built in. Mm-hmm. And I understand that the gentlemen, guys, are they don't like fussy, and I understand.
No, we don't like fussy.
Yeah, you don't like fussy. It's very simple. But even by taking the necessary steps to build the proper pH of the beard shaft, my regimen only takes 5 minutes if followed properly. So coming in with conditioner, I added a conditioner. Like I said, I designed it around the science of the hair. There's no way possible that you can bring that beard shaft to the proper pH level by using a balancing shampoo. Okay, so you want to come in and properly cleanse first. Once we take everything out, now we want to replenish, okay? So my beard conditioner is going to come in and moisturize and condition that beard. And by the way, all of my products are 100% natural. They're derived from natural products, okay? So you don't have to worry about any type of irritation and so forth. So that's going to add that slip to that beard, okay? So you let that sit in for a few minutes, rinse, okay, and now we're moving into the beard serum, okay? That's another product that's lacking out of a lot of the lines. And I'm not bashing lines. I just kind of stepped back to see what I needed to add to my line, listening to the challenges and seeing what was going on with my, you know, bearded kings and, you know, what they needed, okay? So the third product is a one-ounce beard serum. And you're probably saying 1 ounce. That's not a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like a little drop.
However, again, keep in mind, you do not have to use a lot of my product.
Mm.
The length and the density of the beard, someone with a smaller beard, like a goatee, they only need to use one pump, okay? And that's the beard serum. And they'll apply that. That's designed to detangle the beard. That's designed to come in and soften that beard. And especially a lot of the guys get really tangly and they're really forced.
Yes, that's what I suffer from, yes.
Right, by the neckline, that serum is going to help to loosen it up and elongate those hair, their hair shaft right underneath as well. So I designed that beard serum to do so. So a lot of the guys, they love the beard serum, okay, because it keeps the beard shiny and smooth, and that also.
Now, what about the smell of these products? What about the smell of these products, Dr. Brittany King?
I designed it around like a sandalwood type smell. So it's soft, it's manly, but it's not too much. What I'm finding, you know, you don't want to be
not too sweet.
It's not too sweet. It's very manly. It kind of reminds me of Armani type. Soft, but it's not overpowering. So you have a lot of signature fragrances. So getting in offering a lot of different fragrances and, you know, and so forth is just too much. So I decided to stick with my signature fragrance, which is very appealing. I've gotten nothing but raves about it. The guys love it. And it doesn't, you know, interrupt what they currently wear.
Exactly.
Okay. Back to that beard serum. I also designed my beard care line to cater to color-treated beards and gray. Because a lot of times, you have to keep in mind, I'm seeing a lot of beard oils on the market that are different colors, and they're doing all these different. You have to keep in mind with gray beards, if you add colors, you know, or color oils and different things and try to add all these different fragrances, sometimes that can discolor the beard. So if it's white and you add red oil, what you're going to have, a pink beard, right?
Exactly.
So I kept that in mind as well. So when I formulated my product line, I designed it to, and I incorporated UVA and UVB protectants to protect the boot shaft from environmental damage and also to even out the porosity of the beard. So coming in with that serum is very important not to skip that step. So following the beard serum, we're going to come in with the beard oil, okay? And it is a beard growth oil, so it's also going to help to promote fast beard growth and keep that skin underneath properly nourished without clogging. The base of it is
that's important too. Yes,
very, very important. Jojoba oil is that's just one of you know my ingredients within. Is a universal oil.
Yes.
You know, you may think you know I'll use coconut oil and so forth. You have to be careful with coconut oil because coconut. Keep in mind when coconut oil gets cold. Or the temperature.
Oh, yeah. It's very solid.
This beer, you know, it's yeah. always staying airy. So that's another product. That's a 2 ounce.
It's like the coconut oil knows exactly when it's winter time. I don't know how it does, but it does.
Yes. And if it's hardening, you got to think of what it's going to do to the beard shaft.
Exactly.
The follicle
exactly.
itself. That is a 2 ounce beard growth oil. And then of course I have the balm. I love the texture of it. And, you know, working with beard care lines for, you know,
yes.
2 years, you know, a lot of the beard balms that I've worked with was kind of gritty.
Exactly.
I designed it to be very smooth. It melts. I say it melts in your hand and also the beard. So my guys love that. It gives it the proper hold without overpowering and being greasy and heavy. And it gives it that nice illumination.
Finish.
I love it. And then, of course, that's a 2 ounce. Again, you don't have to use a whole lot.
Wow.
And then my last product within my signature line is my aftershave. Very, very important. With the ingrown hairs, also they can use it as a shaving lotion to touch up their, you know, the edge of their beard. A lot of barbers that I see that I work with and kind of mentor, they're using the razor on dry skin, not realizing that's damaging the surface of the skin. So you do need something to help moisturize, add that moisturization and hydration back into the skin itself and hair. The skin, and also it helps with the ingrown hairs, the bumps, and
the things we don't like. Yes,
but it's
important. Yes,
I designed my beard care line. You know, I think I really had a phenomenal, solid foundation. That is my original line, and then I will be next month when I appear at the Bronner Brothers Hair Show. I'm going to be releasing my Beard Huntress exclusive line, and I'm really excited about that because that's going to consist of my beard growth spray. That's going to go a little bit more in detail and helping these guys really connect and target those, you know, hair follicles and get the beard to grow in a whole lot fuller and so forth, and to help to also nourish, you know, that skin underneath. So that's one product that I'm adding to the exclusive line. And then also I have a shaving gel. I'm sorry, I said a shaving gel, but aftershave within my original, but my exclusive version is going to have a shaving gel. So I'm excited about that. And some other great initiatives. I have my bamboo wooden comb and brush collection that I'll be releasing.
I'm excited. Me too.
Yes, that wooden beard, wooden combs and so forth is so
It's really good.
Growth and circulation and so forth. A lot of bearded gentlemen, they're using plastic and metal.
Exactly.
And that's simply what that causes is diffuse breakage throughout the beard shaft. Or if you're using wooden combs and wooden accessories, that's going to help to glide. It actually absorbs the natural oils and sebum. So it's going to automatically glide throughout the beard shaft and nourish and condition the beard as you are, you know, combing
through your beard. Well, listen, I have to tell you, it is just phenomenal to have you to describe the benefits of these amazing products. And I just want to remind folks that we're going to have to figure out a way to get your products through Hair Radio. We want to be able to offer these amazing products through our beautiful website and all that wonderful stuff. We'll have to work out all those wonderful details, Dr. James. But I love it. We've got to do that because, you know what, you hit on a lot of wonderful things in the way that you describe your signature line, and I love it. So we're going to be looking out for all the things that you release. And so, but also through social media. So how do they find you through Facebook and all that wonderful good stuff, or any social media you want to share today?
Absolutely. They can find me at Fruit of the Spirit Salons with an S, and that's on Instagram as well as Facebook. In addition, they can also locate me on my The Beard Huntress pages, Instagram, and Facebook as well. And, of course, they can always email me at drpreneekjames@gmail.com. And then, of course, I'm just one phone call away, 757-914-5393. I'm located in the beautiful city of Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Okay. Well, Dr. Preneek James, I want to thank you again for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It gets no better than all that in having you here to talk about hair and beauty. And you will be at our upcoming show. I'm going to, you know, make some big announcements very soon, and we'll have you to weigh in on all of that. And, of course, you've got to come back for our 600th special broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to be real excited to have you come back and to talk about all that wonderful good stuff. So thanks again. Anybody you want to shout out to this morning before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. I want to first give a shout out to you. Innovative, Carrie Hines. Thank you so much for being on the Hair Radio Show. It seems like, again, that this is my home. And then, of course,
I want to
shout out colleagues, Mr. James Mack. He is a
James Mack.
I love him. We'll be working together when we're going on tour. And then, of course.
Yeah, he's awesome. Say hello from us here at Hair Radio.
Definitely. And then I also want to give a shout out to the beard detailer and celebrity master barber, Fahim Alexander. Phenomenal guy. I'm going to be
talking to him.
We have a lot of things cooking up, brewing.
It sounds like.
Stay tuned. Beard Huntress. God, it's just a really allowed me the opportunity to really work with some phenomenal colleagues within, you know, of course, the barber and beauty industry. So I'm grateful. So, again, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And shout out to all of your family and everybody. They're always so supportive. We love them. And my best wishes and all of that. Okay, Dr. Preneek James, thanks so much for being with us. We're going to continue to follow you now.
Thank you.
Okay, you got it. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to get to. Stay with us.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
Welcome, people.
At the all-natural
corner. We are the all-natural corner. 12,000 rooms. We cater to all-natural body treatments, body products, skin care at the all-natural corner. Yeah, we got things for health, wealth. Why not make your beauty more beautiful? At the all-natural corner. We got sour sap, moringa. Everything that makes your body. This is the All Natural Corner, 12 Charles New Rose, Willenboro, New Jersey, 080-46-267-670-9457. We got all natural products. We love the community. The All-Natural Corner. You need it all.
At the All Natural Corner.
All you can come and get at the All Natural Corner.
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 Tell them what you think. Yes, I was there and I talked to the manager and he let me know that All Natural Products was good for my body. He had 102 minerals for me and I was good, you know. I'm going to come back all the time because it's all right at the All Natural Corner. I can't say anything else.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Vincent Ellis White. Now, he is an author of a book called Finding Chris, My Father. I'd like to welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Vincent. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
Yes, and well, first of all, and that's Vincent Ellis White. I want to make sure that's clear. Now, you are the author of this book, and I think it has such a very interesting subject matter that it deals with. Tell us about Finding Chris, My Father. What is it all about?
Okay, well, the book Finding Chris, My Father is a memoir that I wrote and published myself, and it's about my very intriguing story growing up dealing with fatherlessness. And to give you a quick synopsis of it, I grew up with a father that was a habitual offender, so he was in and out of jail, and he was definitely in more times than he was out. So I was raised, you know, like a lot of our other young African-American males, I was raised with just my mother in a single-parent, single-income home. And she used to take me to visit him 2 to 3 times a week at the prison, but she told me he was in school. And so I was a young kid. So, you know, when you're a young kid, you listen to your parents, and everything they say is golden. So, you know, I believed whatever she was telling me. She could have told me he was a unicorn. I probably would have believed it. But
right.
I thought he was in school. And, you know, my friends that read the book, they said, how would you not know he's in jail? And I said, well, you know, they're thinking I'm seeing jail bars, but I never saw any jail bars. I sat at a picnic table with him, and I'd be able to interact with him. I could touch him, give him a hug, you know, play basketball with him, met his friends and, you know, stuff like that. So in my mind, you know, he was in school, and that's what it was for a while. It wasn't until my, you know, adolescence, until I got a little bit older, that I realized you can't be in school for 8-10 years, you know, straight. You got to come out and be a doctor or somebody. So I knew something was going on at that point.
Right.
Well,
how did you feel when you realized that he was incarcerated? How did you feel at that point when you found out he was being incarcerated?
And that's a good question, because I started to, everything my mom said was golden, man, because I never know her to, like, you know, fabricate anything to me. But that showed me that, you know, she does shield things from me, her son, and, you know, it also showed me that my dad, you know, was doing the same thing. And I started acting out. You know, I was smelling myself a little bit in my preteens and teen years. So, you know, just like how other teens do, I started acting up, you know, and not just acting up, but I had a lot of anger inside of me because of different things. I saw my mother struggling with one income. I saw him popping in and out of her life. You know, I had that lie that was told to me and all kind of other things that was happening that I just needed a disciplinarian in the home. And even though my mother was very, you know, strict and stern about certain things, there's nothing like that male figure being in the home. You know what I mean? And but the shocker was when I turned 16 years old, my mother sat me down and she said, Vince, she was like, your father, you know, that you, I know you know and love and all the other stuff she said, I want to let you know it's something that's been on my heart for a long time, and I've been feeling guilty about it. And she said, your father that you know is your father is not your biological father. And we got into this big, huge argument because I blew up on her, and I always had this big respect for my mother, man, but I never got any arguments with her or anything. That's how I was raised, but I blew up on her because I was like, you know, first of all, this was a second lie, but then this was a huge lie because even though I had mad animosity for this man for different reasons, I loved him to death. I loved when he came around, when he was home. You know, I loved visiting him and just all kind of things. So it just kind of turned my, put a whirlwind inside of my life, really. And I felt like I couldn't really trust anybody. I was asking her questions. She wasn't really answering them. She was more concerned with, you know, how was I dealing with that news. But, you know, I actually, after I got that news, I just started doing some different stuff, man. Like, I actually went and disowned his side of the family. And I was very close with them. Like, I spent time with them, equal amount of time with them as I did with my mom's side, because even though he wasn't there, his family was there for me my entire life. But I disowned everybody. And my rationale was that they're not my blood. And I thought, like, I was the butt of a big joke. And, like, everybody, you know, knew the secret about me. I didn't find out until later that nobody knew. But I disowned the family, and I only was, like, really rocking with my mom's side of the family, which I said, I know they're my blood because I know I came from her mom, you know. So the last name White, I was only rocking with that side of the family. And my family was mad at me. I mean, it was all kind of stuff going on, man. And I ended up...
So where... Sure. Just to follow your story, where does what happened to your actual father then? Did your mother tell you at that time?
Well, that's what I was getting to. So I graduated from high school, went to college, and when I turned 21, I called my family and I said I was changing my last name, and that's where I got more news at. I told my mom I was changing my middle and last name. My choir name was Vincent Lopez Mapp III. And I changed my name to Vincent Ellis White. And my rationale at the time of being 21 years old was that I knew the last name Ellis because my grandfather had that last name that I grew up with partially. And I knew the last name White was my blood. And I didn't look at the other side of my blood. So that lets you know I was going through an identity crisis. At that point is when my mom started giving me more information on it. I guess she thought I couldn't handle it until then. But she said, well, listen, you know, I already told you your family didn't know anything about the secret, but you've been so angry at your stepfather and then now your biological father. And she was like, I never told him about you. And I said, wait, what? And she was like, I never told Chris Anderson about you, because at 16, all she told me was that my dad's name was Chris Anderson. That was it. She didn't give me any more information or anything. So then she told me she never told my biological father about me. So I had to transfer all that anger that I had for him thinking he was a deadbeat dad, like, elsewhere. So I was just acting out. But then I started looking for him as well. And
well,
so,
was your mother, like, a teenager at this time, like, when you were born?
No,
this sounds like something maybe a teenager would do. You said 35.
No, it's, no, 25. But listen,
oh, 25, okay.
It's funny you say that because you think that, but I work for the state now for the Division of Child Support Enforcement.
Uh-huh.
And you would be surprised how many mothers have done this same thing. Trust me, it's not a teenage thing. It's not an immature thing, because I deal with mothers that are in their 30s that do it. It's a family secret. It's an embarrassment, you know, type thing. So what happened in talking to my mother as I got older was my mom said, Vince, my biggest mistake was not telling your, like, me and your father parted ways and I found out I was pregnant. And she said, and I should have told him, but I didn't. And then I met the guy that you thought was your father, and he was telling me, you know, worry about it, I'll take care of Vince like he's my own. He ended up signing my birth certificate, so he gave me his entire name. But nobody told me,
wow.
You know what I mean?
What a dynamic person, Anna. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So later on, my mother tried to tell me, but at that point, I found out that the person I thought was my dad started putting his hands on my mother. So he threatened her, like, you know,
oh,
you're not going to tell him about secret. So like I said, it's not just a thing of no immaturity, but it's like it was guilt. It was, you know, being physically abused.
Wow.
It was all kind of stuff. And
well, Vincent, this is a little bit of a different story too, because okay, so the gentleman that you believe was your father, who was supportive as he wanted to sign that birth certificate and actually be your father, unlike a lot of folks today, and then he didn't want you to even know that you knew that he wasn't your father. That really doesn't happen all that much. I mean, really, I know it. I mean, I haven't heard of it too often. We see the opposite play out every day on Mari Povich's show. So this is something that seems a little different.
Well, I mean, like I say, a lot of people are going to be very subjective with their opinions on this. Like, and I see both, especially me working with child support now, but I can see the good intentions in the beginning. I definitely see that. On the flip side, I don't recall him being such a great father, just to be honest with you. So, you know, because he wasn't there, I mean, for a lot of stuff, like even, you know, just giving me positive reinforcement and a positive role model. And those are attributes that a good, you know, father should possess as well. It was great that he stepped up, but when you step up, you got to step all the way up. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
You can't get somebody your name and not tell them that you're not their father, but then you don't do anything. And later on, it's not only going to be a mighty blow when they find out that you're not their father, but it's already been a big blow because you haven't even been there. So what I tell people actually is I say, hey, not only was I dealt a mighty blow to find he was my father, but on the low, I was kind of relieved because he hadn't been there, and I was kind of embarrassed the fact that all my friends knew I had a father in jail. You know what I mean? So I was looking forward to finding Chris, but then at the same time I got disappointed because I thought Chris was trying to not be in my life either. Found out that he didn't know, and the beauty of
and
it
all that you had to go on was, you know, whatever your mother was kind of doling out to you in bits and pieces.
Right. And the sad thing is, she didn't know any of his siblings. She didn't know any of his siblings or anything like that. And his name was so common. I like to share this one funny story. His name was so common that she had been looking for him to find him for me because she saw the hurt that I was dealing with and having him there. And she said that one time social services contacted her back and said, "We think we found him." And so she rushed down into the social service office, like, you know, hoping to find my dad. And she said, they bring out a white man.
Chances are it's probably
like,
not your daddy.
Yeah, and so, but the funny thing is, they were trying to convince her, well, this fits your description. No, that's, you're missing something critical there. He's not black, he's not white. So that was the funny part.
Wow.
I changed my name and all kind of stuff with it, but I don't want to give the whole story to the listener. They definitely got to get Finding Chris, My Father, the book. But I will tell you all, I ended up finding my father in the way that I met him and found him.
Well, hold on. Well, we're going to hold that. We're going to hold that for just a bit because I want to turn to your motivation for writing this book. And then we'll get into, I know, you know, that you do a lot of social type work now, but let's get into, so what was the motivation? When did you say, well, you know what? I've got to write a book about this. What was that motivation?
Okay, so
we know that you went through the story, but what was the motivation for writing this book?
You know, that's a great question because when I met my dad, I didn't write the book right away. I had no thoughts on writing a book. Didn't know anything about writing a book, and all of a sudden, I was just sitting there, and I was thinking about the crazy turn of events that happened when I was, meeting my dad and going through the whole thing. And so I'm like, I gotta sit down and try to jot this. And so I sit down and I'm like, all right, let me sit back and try to, you know, write this down. And so I'm like, I don't know the first thing about writing a book. So I just started writing it like old school, like how you write a paper in class. And I'm like writing an outline. I'm going off the top of the head. and everything like that. And I started putting this book together. I'm telling my dad about it. And he's like, you don't know about writing. I'm like, but I got to write this book because I feel like it's going to help me be fair. It's going to be therapeutic for me and maybe somebody else. But that's it. That's the only thought I had, maybe somebody else. It was more so trying to help me work through some things I was dealing with. And I wrote the book. And after that, I didn't even really push it like that. But it started getting in the hands of a lot of people. And people were like, I want you to come tell your story. Not only was I not a writer, but I wasn't a motivational speaker. Like, I was very outgoing, but I didn't do the motivational speaking thing. So I was, like, turning stuff down, but they were like, come on, come speak, and I would just share the story. But when I share a story like this, and it's my own story, I'm so passionate, you know, with this thing that, like, I started captivating audiences, and people were standing up testifying, guys and girls, you know, older and younger were testifying. The audience was growing, and people were, like, crying, and I mean, it was crazy, and it was one particular time is when I realized it was not no longer about me, and probably never was about me. You know, it's probably just, you know, well, not probably, for sure, was God using me as a vessel. But I was in Newport News, Virginia, speaking, and this guy stood up with a hardened face, and he was like, you know, I just got out of jail not too long ago, and I don't never stand up and speak in front of people, and I never cried in front of anybody. But he was like, you know, you got me, like, in tears over here. And he was like, I don't know my father. And the reason I've been going out of jail and dealing with gangs and violence and anger and all this other stuff is because I don't know my dad. You know, I needed a dad there. And then we talked. The whole audience was crying. A lot of people stood up and shared their testimony. And that day I said, okay. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, okay, this is no longer about me. I said, this is about me helping other people. And I was so glad that I wrote the book at that point. So that became my motivation. Even though the book was already written, my motivation was now to uplift people that are dealing with fatherlessness. And it just so happened that same day, I met these two guys that said that they do stage plays. And I turned them down three times. I was like, I don't know anything about stage plays. But they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. They bought my book. We started working on a cast and script, I mean, a script and doing casting. And I'm looking like, where is God trying to take me here? Because all I wanted to do was write a book for myself. And next thing you know, it's like I'm going all over the place traveling. I got a pending stage play. I knew I didn't have any money for a stage play, but we were like, we're going to put it on somehow. We put it on in Tidewater area of Virginia, and we had, a small response. But I wanted to bring it back home to where I'm from, which is Richmond, Virginia. And I brought it back home, and no money to advertise or anything. And next thing you know, man, this thing just took a life of its own. Like, we sold our shows. People started donating to it, like nonprofit organizations started donating to it. Public figures, private donors. And we had money to make it travel. We got it on the news. NBC called me. CBS, ABC. I did two on ABC. And so I just started getting, like, exposure, and just started blowing up. And then more blessings were coming because people were coming up to me after my show saying, I'm dealing with that right now. Like, young adults, it was older adults. To answer your question about my mom earlier, here's another example. I had some ladies that had to be in their 40s, late 40s, maybe early 50s, that came to me and said, listen, I have a son or daughter right now, and I have not told them about their father, somebody different than who they know. And, I mean, they were way older than my mom. You see what I'm saying? And I said, you haven't told them? Why not? And they tell me their reason why not. And so I immediately go in because it just hits my heart. I'm like, listen, you got to tell them. I don't care how old he is, 13, 18, 20. We go back and forth about it because they tell me their reason for not telling him. And I said, man, end of the day, it's selfish. Like, you got to let them know. And though I exchanged numbers with them, and they contacted me back, and, like, they contacted me back and said, since talking to you and seeing your play and reading your book, I went ahead and told my son. And, you know, and they keep up with me, and, you know, some of them have said, you know, now my son is so glad I told him. He was mad at first, but now he's met his dad. And, you know, another lady told me he's met his family. It's just been so many breakthroughs and blessings from me sharing my story. Even going further, I mean, that's just a few testimonies, but they happen in the droves every time I have a stage play or I do a motivational speaking, to the point that I just knew it was no longer about me at that point. It was more so about the masses and the people. And, you know, all the things that's happening nowadays in society, just the elevated incarceration and the violence and everything, you usually can send that back to a big factor being no father in the home. Like, I mean, they always, if you do the research and get the statistics, there's always no father in the home. So we can actually, I'm glad like Obama has that, you know, my brother's keep when things going on, the Fatherhood Initiative, because that's where it starts. If we can fix that area in the home, a lot of this stuff will just get filtered out and it goes towards a, in a more positive direction. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean. I like when I've read that you referred to it as the father factor. So that's what it sounds like you were just explaining, but feel free to tell everybody exactly what the father factor is a little bit more.
Yeah, I call it the father factor, or I call it's actually referred to as the father wound. But it is the father factor because it's usually the common denominator of a lot of these negative traits that people are possessing, negative symptoms, these reactions people are having. If you were to take any of them, one out of every three young adults has grown up without a father, especially in African-American communities, one out of every three. So we want to narrow it down to that. And there's no disciplinary in the home. There's nobody for a male or female to learn from, a male to model himself after. And a female is supposed to give her heart up to her father first. If there's no father there, she has no, you know, male role model there, and therefore, if you look up the symptoms of a young female not having a father in the home, it's usually like promiscuity, you know, maybe not trusting men, or on the flip side, like giving almost every man your heart because you're looking for your father. You know, so things like that, not having a high value, high self-esteem because of that. And for males, if there's no father in the home, you know, they may go towards gangs, they may go towards violence, they harbor a lot of anger like I did. They harbor a lot of anger, and they take it out in other ways. They may, you know, have domestic violence on their girlfriends. You know, so there's so many symptoms that all resort back to the father factor and the father wound. And so I say wound because a lot of people think that it's just young people. But that's so incorrect. It's millions of adults that are out here, 30, 40, 50, 60, just walking around with a father wound. And their wound is that I never had my father at home. Whatever the case may be, some of them are still looking. I still want him there. I want to know why he left. Why did he put his hands on my mom? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? And they still need that answer. Now, if you ask them, they're not going to tell you that because they don't know how to express that. A lot of them say, I don't need him. I don't need him. I just need my mom. But yes, you do. You need him. And if you don't need him, you need some questions answered. Even those questions answered may help you. And so
it sounds like you're talking about closure. For these the children of these fatherless homes, if you will.
And you still have to send it to adults with no closure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, this is just interesting, I have to tell you. Wow. All right. Well, hold on. If folks out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have with us today, he's the author of Finding Chris, My Father. And it's a book out that speaks to the lack of a father in being in the homes, and I'm sure how it influences the children or the whole family, all of the dynamics, I'm sure. So this has been turned into a play. You started the trek to look for your own father, Chris, of course, which is the title, Finding Chris, My Father. We haven't gotten to the part yet about you finding him, so we're going to get to that in just a moment. But what led you to, or how did this lead you to the work that you do currently with the social work?
It feels like it was indirectly because I like to joke with people, tell them that I have so many different degrees and none of them go together and none of them are in the work that I do now. So I just feel like it's a divine intervention that I end up in this field because I have an undergrad degree in mass communication. I have a master's degree in education and I have an executive graduate certificate in business management. So none of the three are the same. And, you know, when you grow up, they teach you to get your degrees in the same thing.
Right.
Now, fortunately, I was able to make them all work out now, with what I do. But at first, I didn't have any degree in this field. And I was just working odd jobs here and there. And all of a sudden, I started mentoring part-time. And when I started mentoring part-time, the mentoring was just so fulfilling working with these young adults. And as you mentor, you know, you build rapport with them. I started noticing that none of the kids that I mentored had any problems yet. Not only that, they were coming from group homes, foster homes. You know, some of them had may have had a mental health issue or something like that. So I started, and it started just, you know, of course, touching my heart because it's what I went through. And, you know, I took a full-time job as a life skills coach working with young adults. And all of these guys I worked with were great young adults, I mean, full of potential, but they had so much baggage. And it was that father factor. I can't tell you one of them had a father, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember them all. Or if they had a father, the father was putting their hands on them or you just being a horrible example of a father, and they were mimicking that. So I just started to really develop a passion for working with these young adults. And I said, man, it's crazy I don't have a degree in this, but I really want to pursue this. So I just started, I said, look, I just took it to God. I'm like, if you can get me, you know, whatever job I was applying to, I know the degree is asking for this, but I have this heart and this passion. If you can get me in an interview, I'll kill it. And I go in an interview, and they're like, you don't have a degree in this, but I have the experience. And I would get an interview, get the job, and I started working. I worked at the Richmond Department of Social Services. I worked as a life skills coach. I've worked as a counselor. I worked in benefits. I've just worked with youth and families for a long time. Even to the point now, I've worked at the Mayor's Youth Academy. The Mayor of Richmond has a youth academy for young adults to help them get on the right track. I was a counselor there. I worked at prison. I worked as a CO. I worked as a counselor, a youth counselor in a prison. I mean, I've worked with so many different young adults and adults that all, as I talk to them and as I have counseling groups and sessions, guess what? The father factor is a common denominator every time. And I don't even mean for it to happen like that, but it's just a real fact in life. And so now I work for the Division of Child Support Enforcement, and, of course, I hope you can guess, the father not being there and is just a huge thing with the Division of Child Support Enforcement as well. And I want to be clear, it's not always the father, because we have plenty of non-custodial parents that are mothers, that are uncles, and, you know, aunts and everything. But just to keep it all the way real with you, though, it's the highest percentage is fathers not being there. And so I have a passion for it. So it falls in line with everything that I do. My degrees actually work now because MassCom is just all about basically, you know, speaking and communication. I do that all the time now with my work I do with my books and plays. You know, business, I have my own LLC that I do educational workshops. I sell books. I do my plays. So the business management piece is there. And then the master's in education, I educate people all the time. I work in, you know, schools and things like that when I speak. So now I've been able to tie all my degrees in together, which is a beautiful thing, because that's something I was asking God for a long time. Now I'm able to tie them together. So, you know, it's been great.
Well, I'll tell you, I like when I read VEW Enterprises, VIEW Enterprises, I would imagine. I love it. I thought it was such a great name.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, as an entrepreneur. Now, just to go back just a little bit, because I like this information that you've just explained about really the whole subject. But what I didn't ask you is that why do you think we have so much of this prevalent in our community where we don't have the fathers present in the homes? What do you think? I'm just curious.
You know,
on your take on this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and it will be just that. It'll be just a think, because I do not proclaim to have the answer, and I like to just have open discussion and awareness, because I don't have the answer. And I actually had somebody tell me on another interview I did recently, they were saying that it goes back to slavery. And I said, man, you know, I didn't even think about it that far back. You know, I'm only thinking about what I see and, you know, going back to what I've encountered and stuff like that. But they broke it down to me saying that, you know, go back to slavery and, you know, and the men being stripped away from the families and, you know, losing their sense of pride, things like that. And that was an interesting perspective. So in answering your question, it'll only be just a perspective of what I think. But so my answer to that is just that I believe that a lot of our men nowadays have not been taught and have forgotten what it's like to be king and to fulfill our purpose that God designed for us. And I say that to say, you know, God didn't design for these broken families. You know, God designed for man and woman to be in the family and for the man to be the provider, the protector, and, you know, just the king in the home. You know what I mean? And I don't mean king in any type of, like, I rule everything, you know, you have no say type thing. But you know what I mean, just a king. Like, you taking care of the home, you making sure everybody's straight, the kids straight, you praying over the family, things like that. And so when men started to stray from that role that is designed for them, now everything breaks apart. Keep in mind, it's just my opinion, but I believe that everything breaks apart. So now you got these amazing women that have to step up outside of their role and have to play both sides. The woman now has to play father and definitely be the mother. So they're designed to be nurturing and do all those great things, but they're not designed to be the top provider like a man is supposed to be. They're not designed to be the protector like a man is supposed to be. Now, they do a great job at it, and they raise kings, you know, even like me. I was raised by a woman that did it. But the thing about it is like, imagine if it stayed like the way God designed it. Imagine if that happened. I just don't think we have a lot of these incarcerated brothers. I don't think we have these guys on unemployment and these, you know, guys in the project and these guys doing, committing different types of crimes. If we had men that were stepping up and being who God designed them to be. And so that's where I am with it. I just want to, I want to raise kings. I want to let these men know that, hey, listen, before you think you ain't nothing and before you think this all I'm ever going to be is, you know, whatever you're doing, this crimes or whatever, you actually are designed to be much more. But nobody told you. You know what I mean? Nobody set an example for you to know that you're supposed to be that. And the only way I knew it is that my mom told me and then my faith in God and matured. But I didn't have nobody to place my eyes upon to see that. You know what I mean? I had my grandfather that was there. He was a great example. So I think he helped too, but he died when I was younger. But I didn't have a father that was supposed to be there to say, hey, son, don't do that. That's leading down the wrong path. Hey, do this, do that. Look at me. And, you know, so I don't think it's just fatherhood either. To go on a little different subject, I think it also is about relationships too. A lot of men can't really perform in the proper way in a relationship, and that's why we cheat and we do this and that. Because if we had that father in the home that not only did those things I spoke about earlier as far as protecting, but imagine if you a young man and you see your daddy treating your mom like a queen, like he holding doors, he, you know, getting her what she needs, he take care of her when she hurting, he talk to her, he communicate with her. He only has one wife, one woman. When you grow up, you're going to want to mimic that. But on the flip side, in reality, we got a lot of guys out there not being home. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? They got different women that they're bringing in and out of their life. Sometimes even they tell their son, hey, don't say nothing. You know what I mean? So just, I mean, just keeping it real. So imagine you got that. That's what you see. Then you're going to exemplify that negative characteristic later on. And then you out here being a player just like Papa was. You know what I'm saying? So it all stems back to that father factor. But it's not just about fatherhood. It's about what example are we setting. And it's basically based on what our parents set. You see what I'm saying? So I
yes, completely. Wow. Well, Vincent, I have to ask you. Now, if someone, let's take a look. If someone is going through the same situation that you've been through, and as you mentioned earlier, we did talk a little bit about this, but what advice would you give to someone now who is finding out that someone who they thought was their father now is not their father? Speak to that a little bit, if you would. Just what advice would you tell that person? What would the Vincent now say to the Vincent then?
That actually happened to me. So I'll give you a real example. That happened. I went to my alma mater, Norfolk State, in April, and I spoke on the panel. And I spoke about my story, finally touched my father. And this kid came up to me. He waited in line for a long time. And he had a screw face on when he came up to me. And he started talking to me. He was like, man, your story's so real. Like, you actually have lived what I'm currently going through. And I had to elaborate. And he said, I don't know my father. You know, and I just found out who he is. I found him on Facebook, and he said, I reached out to him, but he doesn't want to talk to me. And his face just got tighter and tighter as he was talking to me. And I said, well, first of all, I said, you got to release that anger that you got going on right now. He's like, I'm not angry. I said, no, it's on your face. I see it. And so I said, you got to release this anger. He's like, well, you should have did this and this. I said, look, you know I know. You know I know. Because I was you at 16. I was very angry. And you couldn't even mention Father to me because I snapped. And so he kind of loosened up, and we talked. And I said, he was like, I don't think I need to meet him. I said, I only reached out. I said, but see, this is the thing. You reached out because you do need to meet him. It's something inside of you that yearns to hear from him. I told him, I said, you know what? Your outcome may not be as great as mine was, just realistically speaking. I said, he could be a bum, or he could just be dead. He could be, you know, a regular guy. You just never know. But the thing is, you still need to hear from him and have that time to dialogue with him because of that closure piece that you mentioned earlier. Even if you meet him and he says straight up, I don't want nothing to do with you, it's going to hurt, but you at least got an answer from him. Or you might meet him and he said, oh, my God, I never knew about you. You see what I'm saying? So when I told him all of that, he was nodding and listening, and it was breaking walls down as I was telling him. And he said, I never thought about it like that. I said, right. And when I was 16, nobody broke it down to me like that. But I now know, as an older gentleman now, I know that there's always another side to the story. It don't mean the side is great, but I'm just saying you need to hear from him. I said, listen, reach out to him. Remove that animosity. Find a way, whether it be, you know, pray to whoever you believe in or just go to a quiet place. But remove the animosity so you can't come to him with that because then he's going to turn away. And I was like, you got to also remember, too, he might be feeling guilty as well. Don't think he's just staying away because he's staying away. He might say, I messed up in the first 5 years, but now it's already been 5 years on. I might as well stay away another five because I feel so guilty. I wasn't there for the first five. I just said, see, you gotta ask him why. You know what I mean? You gotta hear the answer from him. And you know, he was against it at first, but as I kept talking, me and him exchanged number two. This is real story. And he kept texting me periodically, giving me updates. But you know his most recent text? This is no lie.
What's that?
Hand to God. He said, Vincent, I just want to keep in touch with you like I told you I would. He said, I'm going to meet my dad at this next week or something like that, next week. He said, I'm kind of nervous, but I'm excited, too, because we talked on Facebook. I let him talk. I didn't come at him like in a negative way, and now I'm about to meet him for the first time. And he said, I would never even go to meet him had I not met you. And so my advice to young people that are dealing with this is that, you know, you got to face your fears. You got to at least try to have an adult conversation with this person, even if you're mad at them or whatnot. Have open communication with them. I think it's going to help as far as the closure. It's going to help with their anger. And not always anger. Sometimes it's just confusion. It's going to help with those question marks floating around in your head. Who is he? Well, what did he do? Why did he walk away? Why did he stay? And on the real, it might have been something, you know, your mom did. See, it's so many different variables to this that you can't just go on what your mom said. You can't just go on what your thoughts are. You got to hear all the different sides. So that's what I
was saying. Sure. Thank you very much. Now, I think this is a great point for us to kind of go back to your story. So you had been searching and searching. You know, you were told that the person you thought was your father all this time was not your father. And he was incarcerated, this person you thought was your father. And you had all kinds of feelings of frustration for different levels and so forth and so on. And you found out your mother had told you what turned out to be something false a time or two regarding the person you thought was your father. How did it all come to be that you actually moved closer to discovering Chris, your father?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually by happenstance. And, you know, this is kind of like the climax in the book, really, but it was like happenstance.
Don't give us the real ending of the book. Do not give us the ending of Finding Chris, My Father, because we want to pick up the book. So we're going to park it when we get real close to that point, because I want to make sure everybody gets this book, including myself. I think it's a great idea. It's a great subject, and we'll talk more about it, but I'll let you finish because I really like this idea.
Yeah, so, and I'll stop right before that. So what happened is, like, you know, I graduated from college, and I'm just going on with life. Like, I go get my undergrad degree, I get my master's, and I'm doing what I call masking, which is where, like, I'm able to put on this mask like everything's fine. And, you know, it's partially going great, you know, career and degree and whatnot, piece is missing. But I keep in mind we had no information. So I literally didn't hear anything about, you know, a Chris or anybody at that point, from, you know, graduating undergrad till, you know, in my later 20s. And like I said, I don't want to give away the story, so this is the part I have to stop at. But I will just tell you this. I ended up meeting him. But when I tell you the story, it's crazy. Like, it's just so unbelievable. Y'all got to get the book, Finally, Chris, My Father, I'm telling you.
Now, how do we get the book?
Well, you can get it on Amazon.com. So you just go to Amazon, and you know, you can type in Finally, Chris, My Father. It's on Kindle and paperback. It's on a lot of sites. You know, it's on BarnesandNobles.com, things like that. But Amazon's probably the most popular place that everybody goes to. So it's there. You know, you can definitely follow me on social media, because I update everything on there. It's links to the book, excerpts and play stuff. So, I mean, motivational speaking engagement. And so I'm on Facebook. My name is Vincent Ellis White. I'm on Instagram, Vincent Ellis White. And Twitter is Vince Ellis White. So definitely follow me on there. But get the book on Amazon.com, man. Find the trick. I guarantee you'll love it. I want to tell you, too, not only is it a travel stage play and God just keeps expanding my audience, but I recently had a Hollywood producer take a strong interest in it and option my book. And what that means is that they say they want to turn the book into a stage play. So my book has been optioned. Into a film. So my book has been optioned to be turned into a motion picture. I'm still taking options, though. So, I mean, I'm always looking for another option to see what, you know, the best offer is and whatnot. But I was just shocked, because I never in my dreams would I imagine a story that I looked at as a bad thing would turn out to be blessing so many people and creating awareness. But also, it can ultimately become a film which can hit the theaters and bless the masses and things like that. So it's just a beautiful thing, man.
It sounds like a very beautiful thing. And on that note, I have to say, what in closing might you share with the folks out there, for whatever they're going through, Mr. Vincent Ellis White, what would you say to folks? Because apparently, and you've been dealing with a lot of families on so many different issues, and usually that's relating to this, the father factor or fatherless factor, if you will. What kind of advice would you give overall, or what's your closing thought on folks who are going through things these days as it relates to the family?
Yeah, no problem. My closing thoughts would just be, man, it's really about having hope and being encouraged and being uplifted. You know, man, life, I ain't going to let nobody tell you life is easy. Like, life is tough. We go through something that we think is the toughest thing in the world. Then 6 months later, we go through something even tougher. So we got to have hope. We have to be encouraged, be uplifted. The thing that saved me was everything from my faith to having mentors. You know, I was in the Boys and Girls Club. I had some strong, positive, you know, male role models there. But now, even as an older man, when I get down, I can have positivity around me. So I tell everybody, man, no matter what you're going through, find some people, some positivity that you can just surround yourself with, just like a big hug, like, and surround yourself with positivity, people that's going to lift you up. Because, you know, if you're already on the verge of breaking, you don't need to be around on negativity. I stay around people that lift me up. That will give you that hope that you need. You know, hopefully, if you're a person of faith, man, just go to that, let that faith build and understand that, you know, whatever the enemy has meant for bad, God can turn around for good. And that's just really what I float on right there. Like I always say.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
But radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, in television, your tube goes minutes just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, have you?
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Okay, but do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's Kathy from the South Jersey area, and you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It is Friday morning. It's July 16th of 2021. It's our broadcast, show number 586. Show number 586. As we kind of move along and close out our week, I want to bring to the line my amazing new co-host who's been doing just a fantastic job. Now, her name is Tara, and she's out of the Maryland area. Good morning. Happy Friday to you, Tara. Good morning.
Good morning, Kerry. Good morning, good morning, good morning to our beautiful listeners. How are you guys doing? Guess what? We made it to Friday. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. We made it to Friday. Hi, guys. How are y'all doing this morning?
Absolutely.
So excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, we love having you. You're doing a great job, by the way. Yeah, we did. We've made it to Friday. Now, if you guys are just tuning in, then you might have missed the lead-in interview we did this morning with the amazing Dr. Brittany James. You guys know her that she was on yesterday. We just re-aired the piece this morning, and it was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So thank you, folks, for asking for that. And we're trying to, as well as let me also say this, for Vincent Ellis White. We were happy to have his piece play because he, as you guys heard, he wrote the book, Finding Chris, My Father, and he really walks us through this whole aspect of searching for his father. So just some really interesting things to kick off our Friday. I am thrilled because we've been playing some great uplifting music this morning. We started with a new artist. Her name is Dua Lipa, and she has a big song called Levitating out there that we got on this morning, and we got some stuff from Lizzo coming up, and the new Diana Ross song called Thank You, which is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Wow.
It sounds a little bit like her old songs, but it has a lot of the new flavor. So we'll get Thank You on in just a couple minutes.
Yeah,
and I'll
I
ask
love
you
that.
For your opinion. Me too.
Yeah,
I have
can't
a Diana.
Wait
well,
to hear that.
Oh, me either. And, I've never met Diana Ross, or I've only chatted with her daughter, Rhonda. That was it. Rhonda. Yeah, once when she was making press rounds because at that time it was her fiancé who had launched his music career, and I think he had an album out, and so I got a chance to really talk with her. And this was, you know what? I'll share all the, because this is some really good, this is a juicy story, so we'll share that in just a bit. Just remind me, folks. So I wanted to see how, let's talk about your amazing week on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're talking about Tara's week right here on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. So how was your week? Let's start. Let's talk a little bit about that. Or you know what we should do, Tara?
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us a little bit. Sum it up for us. What did you think it was going to be before you got to the radio show versus once you're now a part of this broadcast?
Oh, my gosh. So before we actually started, you know, the live radio show and just having that conversation, you know, about me, you know, becoming your co-host and, you know, going through all the logistics. And, again, for those of you who are listening a few days ago, because this is only my third day. Yes, day number three, my third
day. Hard to believe.
So I know. It's been 3 days. So my first day, you know, before I actually started doing the actual live broadcast, I really thought in my mind, like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours? You know, the show starts.
No, three
yeah, hours.
You're mid-show.
Yeah. The show starts. Yep, I'm mid-show. The show starts at 6 a.m., but I'm actually here from 7 to 9, even though it runs from 6 to 9 a.m. So I was just a little apprehensive because I didn't know if I could just, you know, flow and have a conversation for those couple hours. So that was my biggest concern. What are we going to talk about? You know, what am I going to say? You know, can I really relate to the audience? You know, will they like me? You know? And
yeah.
All that
well, what
that we,
what have you
together?
Found out and discovered then?
Yeah, absolutely. And then once I did the show, you know, the first show, you know, I was really surprised, like, you know, the topics and the information, and it was just so much to talk about. And time flew so fast. So by the time my second day came, you know, I was still nervous, but, you know, I was finding my place, you know, finding my footing, you know, got a little more comfortable. And it has just been the most amazing week. Now, I'm going to be honest, you know, I'm tired. It's been a long week. You know, for those of you who don't know, you know, I have my own beauty brand, so I'm still here, you know, making products in between, still here late at night. But I am just so excited to be able to do this. And it's a sacrifice, but it is one of the best sacrifices, Carrie, that I have ever made. I'm very hands-on. I'm very personable. And one of the biggest joys of having my company and having this business and being an entrepreneur is that one-on-one relationship, getting out there with the trenches. You know, I do a lot of events, and there's no greater joy than being out there with the people. So to be able to talk to you guys on live and talk to you through the radio, I mean, that is my greatest joy. Being with the
people,
listen. I love it.
You are doing a fantastic job, and that's what
Thank
it really
you.
Is. It's the connection mm-hmm. with folks. It's that
yes.
getting to that deeper level. They wake up every morning. We're the first
mm-hmm.
thing they grab. They grab their phone, and they hit the
yep.
button to dial our radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
remember, you can program your cell phone to call us directly, so you can dial the 516 number, keep that stored in your phone, and when you wake
mm-hmm.
up, hit the button and call the radio show. It connects you automatically to the broadcast.
Wow.
So that
you
is
that,
how you do it.
Yeah.
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 Anytime between 6 and 9 in the morning. So we
mm-hmm.
love that. Now, Tara, I'm going to give you a little treat this morning. I'm going to have you to grab your favorite cup of tea. Now, are you a coffee or a tea drinker? Which one are you?
I am a coffee person in the morning, and then I am a
awesome.
Tea person in the afternoon. Yeah, so I have my
I
green tea,
like
apple
that.
Cider vinegar, and honey. Yeah, yeah. And that kind of, like, balances, you know, me out as
Absolutely.
Far as caffeine, because I need that jerk in the morning. So I'm a coffee person in the morning, and then it's tea through the night. That is me.
I'm
not
loving
a soda person.
Yeah.
Coffee, tea, coffee.
Awesome. I'm loving it, Tara. Awesome. Well, listen, we are going to get on. We aired this, I believe we aired it on Wednesday or Thursday, but I want to play this. This is because there's something very telling in this interview that you did with us, and I'm loving
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned a couple points a few minutes ago, but the interview that you did, you really expound. What I love
mm-hmm.
about this is that I want you guys out there to listen with new ears, because on this interview that Tara did with us, this was before we had the discussion to be a co-host.
Yes, yes.
So this
yes,
is,
yes, yes.
if you really, I'm going to share this, I'm going to drop, we said we're going to spill the tea. We were just talking about tea. We're going to
mm-hmm.
spill it this morning
mm-hmm.
that this is what gave me the you know, this was a catalyst. This is what gave me that little notion that there was something that was bubbling to surface in this amazing, wonderful lady that I get to share the mic with each morning now. So, Tara, take a listen.
Yes.
We'll be back live. It's only about 15, 20 minutes. Take a good listen. We'll be back live on the other side to talk, and we're going to test Miss Tara about her own interview. So stay stay with us, folks. We'll get this on right now. I want you to take a good listen. Here's the Tara before she was Tara in the morning. We'll be back. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today. She's from the world of business. It is my honor to welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show for the very, very first time, Tara Gregory. Good morning, Tara. Good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you doing, sir? I am so honored and so privileged to finally be on this show. Talk about getting me on here for
a long time. Yes,
my schedule has been crazy, but I am just so honored to finally be here talking to you and your radio listeners.
Oh, aren't you kind? Well, listen, I am excited. First of all, it is I who must thank you. You are one of the folks who, when we announced our live events and that we were working on so many different shows, you were the one of the very first to sign up as a vendor. So we're so excited that you wanted to do business with our company. We love it. We support you, and we love that you support us at Hair Radio. You've always been, and even when I'm on social media from time to time, which I think I must live on social media as far as our fans are concerned. But yes, but I love it because you, Tara, you share our postings, you share our messages, you like what we put out, and it means so much. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I am one of those that is really big on supporting one another, especially within our culture. I don't know what it is that we struggle to do that. So many of the cultures will band together, and they will push and support one another. And we have to change that stigma. We have to get band together and be able to support, promote, push. Everything is not about a dollar. A lot of times it's just a phone call. It's just a post or doing what I'm doing now. Just support somebody else's business. Support their vision. We have to do better as a people. And if I have to be the one to step out there and do that and be the example, by all means, I'll do it.
Well, you have done just that. So, and that puts you on our radar here at the Hair Radio Morning Show and at Hair Radio, the company. So I'm so excited. Now, I've got to say, Tara Gregory, just to have you on the show, I want to talk about your business for a moment. Then I'm going to get into why we brought you here this morning. But first, let's find out a little bit. Now, give us a – I remember you were doing Aya's Batch of Nature. So tell us a little bit – and did I pronounce it right? Tell us a little bit more about it, all that you're doing.
Okay, so just in a nutshell – the name of the company is Ayers, A-Y-U-R, apostrophe
Ayers,
S.
Okay. Yes.
Yep, Ayers Batch of Nature, LLC. I started this company about 7 years ago. And just to give you just a really quick background, I am in my 50s. I just turned 51. And as I got older.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you. As I got older, I just realized that my hair started changing. I was natural, and, you know, I was using the products on the shelves, and not to take anything away from them. You know, my hair was moisturized and shiny and looked cute, but for some reason, it just kept shedding. It kept thinning. I was losing my crown. I could not understand what was going on, and nothing on the shelves helped me as far as that issue. So I started researching, and God blessed me to come up with this concoction after I researched for an entire year. Point number one, whatever you're doing in business, research, research, research.
Yes.
Hone in and master whatever it is you're out there producing or doing. So it took me about a year. I came up with this formula, and it changed my life.
So I have a product line that is geared towards problematic hair issues. So it's not just about moisturizing and making your hair shiny. If you really have some serious hair issues going on, I have these products that are solving the breakage, the shedding, but especially alopecia. And I've realized, Carrie, what was happening to me really was aging hair, and there's nothing really on the market unless you go and get that Keranique and all that kind of stuff. And what I have is chemical-free, drug-free. It's all natural. It's all organic. No steroids, and it works better than those chemicals you see on TV, if not better. And the products started working so well that Macy's reached out to me. Now, listen, I didn't have money for Macy's. I knew that. But somehow they got wind of the products. Make a long story short, they asked for some samples, and I sent it to them, and they did their little testing, talked to the board or whatever.
Yeah, right.
3 months later, they called me and were like, how fast can you get here? And we launched in Macy's. I'm in retail stores.
Yay! Stores.
Yes, and I'm now partnering with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America to help those that are on chemotherapy bring back their hair naturally with no chemical, because they're already dealing with the radiation. So you don't want to put a chemical product on top of what you're already dealing with. So these products is really making a difference for those that's suffering with chemical damage. My hair is now past my bra strap at 50 years old because I see my own products. So that is really the backdrop of the products. Also, there's a lot of black hair care products out there. And, of course, mine has the oils and butters. But I took it a step further when I started researching and infusing Indian Ayurvedic herbs into the product.
Wow.
That
really? How? Tell us about that. That's interesting. So Indian herbs, tell us.
Yeah. So Indian herbs are your henna, amla, hibiscus, marshmallow root, burdock root. These are herbs that Indians have been using for years, I mean centuries, and we just didn't know about it. And hair is hair, so if it worked for their hair, it'll work for our hair. And these herbs are proven.
And I've never seen a person of that, the original folks here in America.
No.
Have no hair. I've never seen one with your hair.
Jet black, down to behind, and no gray.
Exactly.
These herbs are slowing down gray.
Wow.
And making your hair grow like weeds and make it strong as steel. If you ever see Indian men and women, their hair is long.
Of course, everyone.
At 70 and 80.
And up.
They have been using these herbs for centuries.
Now, Tara, how can folks get these products, please?
Okay, so they can visit Ayers Bachelor.
I'm raising my hand, by the way. Tell us one more time. Give us that site once again. I interrupted you there.
Ayers Bachelor of Nature, AYURSBACHOFNATURE, bachelorofnature.com. You can also find me on Etsy, which is an e-commerce platform for handmade businesses. It's the number one platform out there, so I'm on Etsy. I'm on Amazon as well. You can find us in select retail stores, and all you have to do is really Google the company.
And I'm hoping you'll bring a few of these products to my store at hairadio.com soon. We're going to hold you to that now.
I'd love to.
Okay. Yes, this is going to be absolutely awesome. And I've been telling, Tara, this is the kind of thing where we've got, like you said, we've got to support each other. So I'll be following up with you very, very soon on that.
Yes.
Now, one of the
everything myself. Yes.
You make wow. Now that
the warehouse. About 30 days ago, I started this company in my house. We outgrew the house. We had pallets coming to the house, and my husband was like, I think you need a warehouse. So we launched into a warehouse because I am determined to manufacture these myself. I had manufacturers reach out to me, and they tell you,
I am reaching out to you. Yes.
And
because
I want them to dilute the formula, so I will continue to manufacture these myself. So I have my own manufacturing and distribution right here in Maryland.
Well, you know what? We're going to be talking with you about that because I have some companies, including ourselves, and we're looking for that kind of distribution outlet where we don't have to house it here and, and necessarily make up batches in our bathtub type thing. So we want to definitely we'll continue this conversation. Now, one of the big things that, you know, let me just remind everybody before we move along, if you guys are just tuning in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today, and she's on the line. It is my honor, again, to welcome her to the airwaves for the very, very first time. Tara Gregory. Yes, good morning, Tara. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
All right.
Good morning.
Yes, and again, Ayers Batch of Nature. I'm just loving all of this wonderful information today. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to definitely invite you this morning onto the broadcast is because you, the only person that I, well, you know what? Okay, yes, we've had on Alelia Bundle, so she is the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. So, of course, and she's a good friend of ours here at the Hair Radio Show. So, yes, she's been with us. But outside of her, so you're like one of the very first who we get a good accounting of at least some of the grounds around the amazing estate that was once the estate called the Villa Luaro, which belonged to Madam C.J. Walker here in New York, which is, I'm located in New York State as well. I'm in New York City and New York. And so her, tell us a little bit, if you will. And, well, you know, we can, you can, we can give you some background. This is the Villa Luaro, formerly known as the Annie Poff or Annie Poff home, is a 34-room, 20,000-square-foot mansion located at Fargo Lane and North Broadway in Irvington, New York. That's about 30 miles north of New York City, so about a half hour away from where I'm located here in Brooklyn. Now, it was built from 1916 to 1918, and she died like in 1919. That was a year after it was they finished it somewhere, and was designed in the Italianate style by architect Wertner Tandy for Alelia Walker. Again, she is, Alelia Walker is the daughter of Madam C.J. Walker. And so, and the Alelia, our friend Alelia Bundles, who was named after Alelia Walker, Madam Walker's daughter. But so now tell us, Ms. Tara Gregory, what did you see? I want to hear the whole story about walking up to Madam C.J. Walker. Well, first of all, before you get there, what inspired you to go visit to, were you making a special trip to see Villa Luaro?
Oh,
and if so, what inspired you to do so?
So let me just take 30 seconds, literally 30 seconds to say this. I had no idea who she was in my teens. I remember, you know, Black history, you know, you read about all these people.
A little bit,
oh,
right.
So I heard of her. And even when I launched my company, I still didn't really know about her. And I didn't realize that I was actually walking into her footsteps until probably about maybe 5 years ago. I had no idea.
Wow.
She built her own manufacturing company, became a self-made millionaire. You got to watch the movie Self-Made. And she built this mansion herself with the first Black architect in New York. A lot of people may not
That's
know
right.
that. He
That's
designed
right.
it. And this house is phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. So I was in New York about maybe 2 weeks ago. I was on a yacht party with this guy called Mitt. Find him on Facebook, Instagram. He does this every month, an amazing yacht party. It's actually a business expo that he does. And so I decided to go there. I had about maybe three people with me, our team. And I don't know, I was on this boat, and I just kept thinking about, you know, this mansion, thinking about her and just how blessed I am to actually be doing what I'm doing. I just couldn't believe it. And I'm sitting there on this boat, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to visit her house. You know, I've seen the movie. I've read about her. You know, I now know about her. I think I want to see this in real life. So we get off the boat, and we get to the hotel, and I tell the team, you know what? We're going to Madam C.J. Walker's mansion. And they're like, we're what? I said, yes, we are. Get dressed. We're going. And we got up about maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. Are we having breakfast? No, we're going straight there.
And I'm thinking, because I don't really know New York like that, but I love New York. It is truly my second home. I'm there a lot. There's no place in the city like New York. Let me just plug that out. So I Googled it, and I realized we were in Upper Manhattan somewhere on 23rd Street and something. And I Googled it, and it was literally 30 minutes away. I'm thinking it's like 2 hours, 30 minutes away. So we jump in the car and go all through this expressway or whatever. And then the whole community changed. It's nothing but rows and rows of mansions. I could not believe it. So we're driving up, and we come across this house. And I see the sign, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, but it's right there on the street. This can't be it. And so I saw they have a post there, like a little plaque thing in the wall, in the ground. And it says, you know, welcome to Madison C.J. Walker's estate. And they give, you know, her little backdrop. And I looked at them. I said, this is it. Park the car. So we parked the car, and it's gated. You can't just walk in. I mean, they have chains and everything on there. And I'm like, okay, we didn't make no appointment. This is spare the moment. So we get out the car. And the whole thing is gated. She has a driveway that's gated and a gate around her whole house. So we're standing in the middle of traffic trying not to get hit, trying to take pictures and, you know, do drive-by shots. And there was a groundsman there. Oh, my God. He was incredible. And he came out. I guess he saw me out there like, what is she doing? So he came out there and he said, who are you? And I told him, you know, who I was, and my husband blessed her. So, oh, you know, she has her own hair care company, and she just wanted to come up here and just, you know, see the person that did it. You know, she's just fascinated with her. And he was like, really, how would you like to come in? And my jaw dropped. And I said, really, you would do that? He was like, absolutely. I said, okay. So,
we're in.
I'm like, get the camera ready because we don't want to. And he's unlocking the gate, and when he opened those gates, oh my, there was a sense of, you know how you walk
history.
And even though you're walking into her history, it's like a preview for you. And as soon as I walk through the gate, I'm like, oh, my God, is this what I'm walking into for me? You can't help but think that. So I'm walking into this gate. It is phenomenal. And when I say, so the doors are locked. You know, first of all, I'm going up the steps. And as I'm stepping up the steps, Carrie, tears are streaming down my face. Not so much because I'm doing what she's doing, but you are standing on the ground of the person who fought and struggled and went through all she went through, all the ups and downs and hurdles that she went through that we now don't have to face as a beauty brand company.
Exactly.
It just overwhelmed me to know that all her sweat, blood, and tears got her to this moment, and here's the proof. It's one, Carrie, it's one thing to read it in the textbook, but it's another thing when you step and stand flat-footed in history.
Wow.
There was no feeling like it to see what this woman had accomplished. And what really stood out
And
to
at
me,
that period, at yeah. that period in time, it's not like she had social media. Her Facebook and Twitter was her 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And she is actually the role model and the example of ambition because she talks
Absolutely.
About how, you know, you have to work hard and believe in your dream. And when you
read absolutely.
Her story and read her book, you see the struggles that she
yes.
went through. And standing there at that mansion, it just showed me how far we can go as black people, as a black brand. And I just hope that my company makes her proud. You feel her presence. When you stand there, you feel like you can conquer anything because look at what she did. So we took pictures on the steps, and there's this white, I can't even explain it, like some kind of white clay pot thingy. She bought this years ago, and it is still there. So you can't go in the house, but there's no drapes, Carrie. So we took pictures, you know, we're peeping through the room. And do you know a lot of her original artifacts and furniture is still in this
house? Still there? Wow.
You can actually take your camera video, and you can actually click pictures because there's no curtains. We walked around the back because I said, let's go. It was like, through the grass, come on, let's go. So we walked around the back, and if you ever see the pictures or her movie where she did her she actually lived in this house for a year before she died. She built it, and she lived in there for a whole year.
That's
and
right.
When she got sick, and she really didn't say anything, she got sick, she decided to hold this convention for all these women that were really distributors of her products. And she
right.
has them all lined up in her back, all on the vestibule, all on the grounds, all around the pool. So I walked around, and to stand there, and it's like you just, history just stopped. Everything is still the same. And all you have to do is just imagine those women standing there, because everything remains the same.
Wow. Well, I am blown away.
And they have kept this property and preserved it like no other. Oh, my God. It's beautiful. And so Sundial has bought this company. Sundial is a company.
Right, Sundial Brand, yeah.
Moisture. And they bought this company, and I've been following them. So anybody that's interested, follow them, because they actually bought this company, and they're going to turn it into a business hub for women to help women entrepreneurs.
Exactly, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what I discovered. And I love that because, you know, anything associated with Madam C.J. Walker is all about women empowerment. And you know.
It's in her will that her property was to be used for African Americans, as far as anyone living there, used it for businesses. It was to benefit the community of Black entrepreneurs. It is in her will. That's why no other culture could ever get it. It's in her will that her
well, I tell you,
she was going to die, and she knew that once she died, she wanted this place to now benefit people for years and centuries to come. And her dream is coming to fruition. Look at what is happening with Sundial. Yeah,
exactly. And
nobody else can get their hands on it.
Exactly. And I have to tell you, mm-hmm. I know for a fact that had it not been for the Madam C.J. Walkers, the Annie Malones, the, you know, the Sarah Spencer Washingtons, mm-hmm. even for us guys, and there are a lot of guys out there in the hair and beauty business, let me just say that and giving them rightful respect, but without these women, I wouldn't be here today carrying on walking in the paths that they have ushered in.
Yeah, and we're obligated. How can we see what they struggled and built.
Exactly, exactly.
And not take on the mandate to carry that mantle. That's why they did it. So that
exactly.
we can now be successful. We can't be lackadaisical. We have to step up
exactly.
and give it everything we got. We can't let go and finagle and just be lazy. We can't
exactly.
do that.
Exactly, exactly. The secret, exactly.
The
it has always been for us to band together. I mean, it's really not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
It's just working together and supporting each other, as you said at the top of this. I just, you know, I just shared your amazing video onto my Facebook page. You can go to Carrie Hines' Facebook page, and I will continue to support and put you out there.
Yes.
Tara Gregory, my friend,
yes.
and we just
yes.
want
yes.
to make sure and have everybody know that you'll be at our very next live hair event coming up soon. We'll keep you guys informed. You can go to hairnationexpo.biz to find out about that. And again, we want to send folks to your website, Ms. Tara Gregory. Tell everybody again how they can find Ayers Batch of Nature products and so much more that you're connected with.
It's AyersBatchOfNature.com. You can find us on Etsy. You can find us on Amazon. And even though I have a warehouse, I actually have a retail store in the warehouse. So if you ever decide to visit us in Maryland, that address is 2105 Emerson Park Road, Suite 101, Edgewood, Maryland, 21040. And give me a call. My phone number is 443.
Oh, that's the record there. Okay.
0998.
Awesome. Listen, I am super hyped. So this is going to be fantastic, Tara. So listen, we're going to continue to follow you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to hope you come back real soon. And we'll do another sit down.
Anytime.
All right. I am loving it. And I hope you guys had a first, we're going to say a first row seat all about Madam C.J. Walker's wonderful, wonderful mansion, Villa Nuaro. So, yes, I'm going. Folks, keep it right here. Thanks again for being with us, Tara. Folks, keep it here.
Thank you.
Oh, you got it back at you. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Keep it right here.
It's here, everybody. I'm Carrie Hine. Join us live on the Hair Radio Morning Show on Friday, August 6, 2021, from 6 in the morning till 9 Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're celebrating our 600th live broadcast, and we've got some great surprises in store, special guests, and so much more. Also, don't forget to go to hairradio.com to shop for great products and listen to us around the clock. Stay tuned.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations.
That's right. We're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Friday morning. It's July 16th of 2021. I'm bringing back to the line Tara out of Maryland. She's our amazing new co-star in the morning on this broadcast. We're so happy to have her with us. Good morning again, Tara.
Good morning, Carrie. Good morning. How are you doing?
Fantastic. No complaints. We're doing real well this morning as we kind of start to roll into our third hour of today's show. Well, did you have a chance to take a listen to yourself or Jake? Did you hear the interview?
Please, what were your thoughts? Oh, my gosh. I literally got chills just listening to it. It took me right back to that same day and that same hour. Oh, my God. And to make that spare the moment decision is a moment I'll never forget. I will never forget that day. It literally changed my life, changed my perspective. I mean, it did something in me. I can't even find the words.
Well,
you know, just
kind.
The inspiration to make you feel like you can just conquer anything. Oh my gosh. If any of you ever have a chance to go visit this amazing mansion, do that. You don't have to be in the hair industry. You don't have to be making beauty products. Just as an entrepreneur, to be able to go and see what this amazing soul has created, has built, will inspire you to a whole nother level. I'm being serious. And you know, we were in New York that day, and I'm one of those that I don't care what city I go to, I do a lot of events. I always maximize the moment. Even though I'm here for another event, you know, I'm here to do whatever the business is, you know, while I'm here, what can I capitalize on? You know, where can I go visit? What can I do to impart what I need for business, for inspiration, for whatever? So I don't just go to a city and go do what I need to do and go home. I always spread my wings to see what else can I do? What else can I embrace? What else can I build upon? And that was one of those moments.
I think, first of all, I love the explanation and the description of this visit that you paid to the mansion. Listen, we're going to be talking about that because that was a great moment. And we have tons of moments to talk about in this amazing journey here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But it was a very, very good interview, so I'm enjoying it. Now, if you guys have just joined us, you might have missed this interview that we re-aired. That features our very new co-host, Tara. So what I'm thrilled about is being able to inform our listeners this morning that you can hear the show back. You can hear it back in its entirety. It broadcasts two more times on our own platform over at www.hairadio.com. Mm-hmm. It starts again at noon and 3 o'clock. So you can hear today's broadcast again, played back on our own 24-hour network at www.hairadio.com. The playback starts at noon and again at 7. I'm sorry, it starts at noon and again at 3 o'clock. Don't know why I said 7, but it's noon at 3 o'clock.
7 days a week.
Probably so, and I like that. Wow. You're absolutely right. Noon and 3 o'clock. So our 24-hour network, because again, if today's your first time hearing us, you might not know this. So we have our live show that airs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 6 in the morning New York time until 9 o'clock in the morning New York time. So that's from 6 to 9 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Central. And so we love that. That's what you're hearing right now, which is the broadcast, the live broadcast. Then after we go off at 9 o'clock, we load up all those, today's actual broadcast to our 24-hour network. So that's why you hear so many completed shows over there on the 24-hour network. But that 24-hour network plays a whole lot of other stuff. Great music. There's special interviews and things that are made just for that network. So does that make any sense,
Sarah? Yeah, and gives you an opportunity
Sarah?
To catch up. Yeah, yeah. Gives everyone the opportunity to catch up. If you missed an episode, you want to hear your favorite episode, you want to hear your favorite entrepreneurs. You know, some of us have, entrepreneur crushes, and it's like, oh, my gosh, they're going to be on the show. Really? It gives you a chance to go back and hear what they have to say. And you never know.
Exactly.
You hear something to inspire you, to uplift you. So, yes, definitely take advantage of that. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah.
Have a paper and pencil ready because you'll hear things on throughout our broadcast that will inspire you. Take notes. There won't be a test, or maybe there will be. But definitely
take
notes.
Because you'll hear something that you didn't know. We're always learning. Never forget that. We are always learning. None of us have arrived. So get your pencil, get your paper. I agree.
I love that. And I have a surprise as well, because you were talking about this, and we spoke a lot about this today, and that is the amazing Madam C.J. Walker. Well, I want to give you, at the same time, this kind of folds into our looking back. You guys know we're coming up on our 600th live episode of this broadcast.
Yes.
And remember, each broadcast is 3 hours, so we've put some time in. To make us the number one leading hair and beauty radio show, period, worldwide, period.
How
with
incredible is that?
Yeah,
wow.
We were the very first.
Incredible.
We are the first, the longest running, the top, the number one, the most recorded hair beauty talk in the world. And so we have listeners around the world. So this morning, even before the show went on, I'm on talking with Ghana. He's in West Africa. Ghana's in West Africa, folks. Let me be clear. And actually, he's in a place called Takrady. And Kobina Ebenezer is someone who has followed Hair Radio. We are, and you're going to hear it first, we're really focused on launching a Hair Radio Ghana. So for the folks over in that part of Africa. And then we have friends. They're not going to be outdone. I'm shouting out some of our wonderful, wonderful friends, Mawari down over in Nigeria, and some of our friends as well in Egypt. So we love Africa, and we love the connection that we have. And Ebenezer has been with us right on this show. And we have you can listen to the interview anytime because it is in my podcast series. Not only do we have the 3-hour show, the 24-hour radio network, we also have separate on-demand podcasts, which are on Spotify, which is where a lot of folks stream their music. So you can hear that. There's so much out there. I have so much material. It's not even it's too much to even. We'll be talking all day about the material. But what I was driving at earlier is we spoke so much about Madam C.J. Walker. I wanted to get on one of my very special guests. You talk about memories of the 600 episodes. Alelia Bundles. I spoke of her a little bit earlier. Alelia, we love Alelia.
To life.
Yes.
Well, we've got a special interview that Alelia did right here for this broadcast. So I'll get that on in just a second so you guys will be able to listen. Now, I do want to draw your attention to this. Alelia was on our show at that time. The Netflix series had not premiered yet, but she tells us all, she tells us the real story about the self-made Netflix series long before it even hit the airwaves. So pay attention to it because she gives us a lot of clues about that.
I'm getting my pen and paper.
Yes, and at that time, Alelia was leading towards our May show back in 2019. So you'll hear her talk about coming to Hair Nation Expo. At that time. And so she talks about her, of course, her famous great-great-grandmother, the one and only Madam C.J. Walker.
Yes.
It gets no better than that. So for us to be talking to hair royalty right here on our broadcast and then to work with Alelia, so we love her very much. And I'm going to go ahead and get on because she talks about self-made. And we've covered this subject many, many, many times on our broadcast, of course. And you guys, you sharp-eared folks know that. So here's Alelia and her original interview right here on the Hair Radio Show. We're going to have you guys to continue, stay with us because it's only about 20 minutes. On the other side of that, we'll be back and we'll talk live about what you just heard. So here's Alelia Bundles, folks. I'm just going to go ahead and let it roll. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now I have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Alelia Bundles, and we'll have her tell you the rest. Good morning, Alelia. Good morning to you, and welcome
to the
show.
Good morning, Carrie.
Yes, it's great to have you with us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, I just want to jump right on in. You are, now hold on, let's let you tell us about the amazing lineage that you have in the hair and beauty industry. Go right ahead, you take it away, Alelia.
Well, so I grew up with two parents who worked in the hair care industry. My great-great-grandmother is Madam C.J. Walker. My mother was vice president of the Walker Company when I was growing up, and my dad was president of Summit Laboratories. So we spent our vacations going to hair shows.
Wow. Well, you know what? Let's start off there. Tell us a little bit more about, now, we're a little bit more familiar, obviously, with your great-great-grandmother and even your mother's work, your grandmother's work and so forth. But tell us a little bit more about your grandfather, was it, that you were just mentioning?
My father was president of Summit Laboratories, and my mom was vice president of the Walker Company.
Oh, okay. Now, tell us about the Summit Laboratories. So what did he do?
So Summit Labs, so in the late 1950s, when companies like Johnson and Saucheen and Summit were developing the chemical hair straighteners, and you know people were going from the hot comb to chemical straighteners, and my dad was president of one of those companies. So when I was growing up, actually the Summit Labs was the bigger deal, was the more successful company financially, but the Walker Company, that was founded by my great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker, in 1906, certainly continues to have the legacy as a founder of the black hair care industry.
I see, and that's what I wanted to kind of jump on in. I just wanted to mention a little bit for us that it might have been lesser known. Amazing. Now, we have to let us kind of elaborate a little bit on that. When someone mentions to you, and I know you've done a million of these interviews, and of course everybody wants to ask you, what is it like being related to the person that we consider who started the entire black hair care industry. So I have to ask you the same question, Alelia.
It's perfectly fine. So I will tell you, as a kid, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. And my mother, who was the fourth generation of women in her family to be an executive with the Walker Company, was really wise about not making it a big deal. Because you don't really want to overwhelm kids with something like that. And so she kind of let me discover it on my own. I would ride with her to the Walker Building in Indianapolis, which was this beautiful block-long Flatiron Building, where the company was based, the factory, the ballroom, a theater, you know, a drugstore, a beauty shop. So I would get out of the car with her, ride up the elevator to her office, where in the late 1950s she had an adding machine and a typewriter before computers and calculators.
Oh, yeah.
So I experienced that, the Walker Company, in that way, going back with my mother to the factory and talking to the ladies who were still, you know, working there and putting the products into the jars by hand. So I had that kind of memory. And then my real love was writing. And both of my parents encouraged me to follow my dream, so that when I got to graduate school at Columbia in journalism, my advisor was a sister named Phyllis Garland, the only black woman on the faculty at the journalism school. And Phil recognized my name, Alelia, which is Madam Walker's daughter's name. And she said, your name is Alelia. Do you have any connection to Madam Walker and Alelia Walker? And I think she probably knew the answer, but I wasn't walking around talking about it all the time. And Phil, after listening to some of my lame topics for my master's paper, said, you know, you are going to write about Madam Walker. And that was in 1975, and really Phil validated it for me at a time when nobody else was really saying you need to write a book about this amazing woman.
Wow. Well, I have to say also, the fact that you have that you are a part of this amazing lineage that we feel has really shaped everything that we know about hair and beauty, I say, what do folks, I mean, when they come up to you, is it something that they're really nervous and, like you were saying, you know, maybe apprehensive about? And what does that mean to you?
You know, I think the thing that's really the most special thing for me is that I get a chance to tell this story. And, you know, and again, as a young person, I was kind of self-conscious about it. I was really, you know, much more interested in Alelia Walker and her Harlem Renaissance life. But what I, you know, as I became more mature and as I really began to understand who Madam Walker was, I realized that her story inspires other people. And it is about hair, and it is about her being a pioneer of what's now a multi-billion-dollar industry. But it's also about her challenges and her overcoming obstacles and being an entrepreneur, being a single mother, and having early struggles in her life. And then being able to employ thousands of other women, helping them become economically independent, and taking it even to another level by becoming a philanthropist and a patron of the arts. So she used her wealth and her influence to make a difference in her community. That began to become as important to me as the hair care part.
Wow. Amazing. And we're going to get into that, because there is still, you guys are a part of providing still hair care products that carry Madam C.J. Walker's name.
Yes.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that. We'd love to hear more.
So the Madam C.J. Walker Company was founded in 1906 and really was one of the premier black-owned hair care companies into the 1950s. But it was, you know, the market was disrupted by companies like Summit and Softsheen and Johnson Products, who were doing a different way, creating new products for black women. And so the Walker Company began to, you know, sales began to drop off in the late 50s, but the company never went out of business. And about six years ago, Richelieu Dennis, the CEO of Sundial Brands, bought the trademark and has, as we know, reformulated Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Culture. So there now are 24 products, all new formulas that are available at Sephora. And I think, you know, sometimes I do still get emails and phone calls from people who say, now, can I buy that original Madam Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower? You know, my grandmama used to use that, and that was...
Absolutely.
And I just try to be really gentle with folks and say, you know, 106 years ago, this was revolutionary, which was essentially petrolatum like Vaseline and sulfur that healed dandruff and scalp infections. We needed that then in 1906. We have learned, we've had 100 years of research and development, and we have taken advantage of that. with these new products and these new formulas.
Absolutely. And to have done something that has such an impact, I mean, to be at Sephora, and here in New York, that's like huge to us here. So
exactly.
Outstanding. And I love the work that they're doing. So we're going to shout out those folks, you know, with the new voices and
right.
all that they're doing. So good work. Now, hey, I have to ask you, and folks out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. This morning we're chatting literally with, I call hair royalty, Lilia Bundles. And I just have to say also, now, you've got some exciting new projects to get into and to talk about a little bit. I think, yes, we're going to talk about this amazing TV series that everybody's talking about. It literally is all over the news everywhere. But before we get to that, Lilia, I do want to talk about, you've written several books.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're working on your biography, which I'm really excited to talk to you about. But yes, tell us a little bit about some of the books that you've written, if you don't mind. And also, do you prefer to kind of write more? Like, you do so many different wonderful things.
So I have written four books about Madam Walker, and I wrote my first one, a young adult book, in 1991. And believe it or not, that was the first book that had ever been written about Madam Walker. Then I did a major biography called On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker. And that is the book that is in development as an 8-part Netflix series starring Octavia Spencer and executive produced by Octavia Spencer and LeBron James. I've written another book for young readers and then a book that has 200 photographs called Madam Walker Theater Center. The book that I'm almost finished with now is a biography of Madam Walker's daughter, Alelia Walker, called The Joy Goddess of Harlem, and that will come out next year. But, you know, the books are something, telling this story and really being able to document it was important to me because there's so many myths and so much misinformation really about any African-American or female historical figure that somebody has to write kind of the first marker of getting the facts right. And that's what I've really tried to do in writing the books about her.
Well, we have to toss in the mix. There is the first thing that everyone has said when you hear Madam C.J. Walker's name is the straightening comb and the black female millionaire. Those are the two things that we
right.
attribute to Madam C.J. Walker. But it's wonderful to have you to fill in, you know, and also kind of, you know, set the record straight, literally.
Yes, well, that's literally, and untangle the myths. But, I mean,
I like
you
that.
Know, I'll tell you, so the straightening comb is, you know, it's like essential. People believe that, and it's like, but you know, my mama told me that, and my auntie told
right.
me that, and so
right.
that must be true. And I'm sorry to contradict your mama. But Madam Walker did not invent the hot comb.
and everybody believes that.
Everybody believes that. But really, you know, and I actually wrote part of there's a Wikipedia entry on the hot comb, and I, you know, anybody can write, and I did a ton of research to just make sure people understand. Hot combs were around when Madam Walker was still working in the cotton fields in Louisiana. Other people had invented them. They were for sale in the Bloomingdale's and Sears catalogs in the 1890s. So this
wow.
was long before she started her
Absolutely.
Business.
Wow.
So I just want people to understand that. And actually, you know, I will say that part of my ambivalence about her when I was a child of the 60s and, you know, going from my perm to my afro was, I don't know what I think about that. And as I began to do research, I realized that often what happens with famous people is somebody has, you know, one thing that they think they know about that person, and sometimes that one thing is actually incorrect. And what I learned about her and her original products is that, like many women, she was going bald because she had bad dandruff and scalp mm-hmm. infections because people didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't wash their hair very often. They covered their hair up. They didn't wash it sometimes at all in the winter. And she was trying to figure out what to do to grow her hair, not to necessarily have straight hair. So that was really a revelation for me to really discover that. So no, Madam Walker did not invent the hot comb. What she did was to create a line of products that shampoo and ointment with sulfur that healed dandruff and scalp disease, and really began scalp massages, and then just a whole system of pampering women. That was really what she was about. And I think that it was, I think what she discovered, because she'd had such a hard life, is that women's souls and spirits needed healing as much as their scalps. So she was kind of charismatic and, you know, sort of had a ministry almost of empowering women.
I love it. It sounds to me as like it's not just what's on your head, but what's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. Now, I do have to ask you, the TV series, we absolutely have to talk about this. We are excited. You touched on it a moment or two ago. This amazing opportunity to bring this story to life about Madam C.J. Walker, your great-great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you mentioned that it's starring Oscar winner Octavia Spencer.
Yes.
And she's also co-executive producing. So it doesn't get much better than that.
Exactly.
Now, along with LeBron James. How did something like that come about that you can share with us today? What can you tell us?
Sure. Well, you know, stories that you've heard, well, you know, the book was written and then it took 1,000 years for the movie to happen. It feels like a thousand years. But it's very much a part of, I think, where we are right now with who we are on television and in movies and asserting ourselves. So that when my book came out, when On Her Own Ground came out in 2001, it actually had already been optioned for a TV movie. But it was one of those things where it was optioned, the script was written, the script wasn't acceptable to the studio, and the executive who optioned it got fired.
Wow.
And then the option came back to me. And I had another few examples of that happened over the, you know, sort of the last decade and a half. And a couple of years ago, I got a phone call from Mark Holder, who is head of Zero Gravity Management, and they produce, TV series and movies. And we talked, and I'd been talking to a lot of other people, and I liked him. I liked our conversation. And he began to try to shop this around and had conversations with a variety of people, met with Octavia Spencer thinking that they would talk about her being in those series.
Sure.
And she said, well, yes, I'd like to do that, and I'd like to be an executive producer. And so that's really how we got to this point. And then it's, you know, it takes a little while to get it sold, and
right.
So Warner Brothers, you know, bought the property, and then Netflix will be the platform on which it airs.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And this, and I'm sure you realize this, but it's so nice to see and see our stories being told, and I love Netflix for recognizing this and all of the Warner Brothers and everybody else, because this is so important for us to see and for the millions of folks who, you know, are going to be exposed to the story on so many other levels. It's just, you know, amazing. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and, you know, there's part of me that says, I wish it had happened, but, you know, things happen when they are supposed to happen. And to have Octavia Spencer in this role with, you know, what she brings to just to life in general.
Absolutely.
And to have LeBron James and his strong voice even associated with it, it means to me that it's going to be much more powerful than it ever would have been if it had been done, you know, a few years ago when we didn't have this same sense of we must tell our stories, we must speak up right now for our survival.
Well, I just love it because, again, that's going to, you're right, the time is right now where the voice can be heard probably the loudest, I think, is, I don't know, you know, for lack of a better way to say that, but yes. Amazing. So one of the other things that, before we let you go today, I definitely wanted to kind of address one more myth that is kind of out there. But even if there's part of it, maybe you can help us to just clarify it. We have, for myself and 24 years being in this business and the hair and beauty industry, I've heard so much goings on about the battle between these amazing women in the hair and beauty industry at the beginning stages of everything. So I have to toss out the name to you, Annie Malone. And when someone says that to you, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, what goes through your mind?
Well, you know, first of all, when I was doing the research for On Her Own Ground, I wanted to make sure that I was being as accurate as possible. So I've researched, you know, to the nth degree. And I discovered a lot of material about Annie Malone. I made sure that I found out as much as I could about her. And I included her and their interactions with each other in my book. So I would say that I, perhaps more than
Wonderful.
Almost anybody else up until that time, tried to talk about the conflicts between the two women, because I thought that was an important part of the story.
Absolutely.
So, and one of the things that is critical for me, and one of the things that I'm very fortunate to have, is thousands of pages of Madam Walker's correspondence and business records, and then years, decades really now, of research about her. So I document everything that I write. If it's in my book, it's because I have found not one, not two, but three or four sources to verify what I'm saying. And we're lucky that we can do that with Madam Walker, because she hired great staff and had a lawyer who kept good records. Annie Malone is much harder to document because she had a lot of turmoil in her life with a bad divorce and a husband who sabotaged her and some bad decisions on people that she hired. And so there are almost no documents and no records about her. So it's hard to, you know, hard to pull her story together. But what I have tried to do by reading dozens of old newspapers and looking at what Annie Malone was doing every step of the way whenever she was mentioned in the newspaper, and I mean dozens of newspapers, and the same with Madam Walker. Here's my conclusion. It comes to several things. They were both really important women. They were both really important pioneers of the modern hair care industry. And they were competitors. They were rivals. Madam Walker, in fact, sold Malone's products for a few months while she lived in St. Louis and after she moved to Denver. Malone accused Madam Walker of stealing her formula, but in fact, that formula was not new. It had been used for hundreds of years. It's in medical texts and pharmaceutical texts. Cuticure was already on the market. Vaseline was already on the market. These were the kinds of things that she was using. There were other people, other black people, who had products that were very similar that they called Wonderful Hair Grower that they advertised in newspapers. So these were two women who kind of were equals and rivals. Madam Walker, I think there are some reasons why she was more remembered. Madam Walker died at the height of her fame in 1919. She had just built a mansion on the Hudson River in the wealthiest community in America. She had moved, her daughter had moved to Harlem in 1913, so their profile was much higher. Malone remained in St. Louis. She married a man who really, as I say, sabotaged her.
Right.
And so I think at a really critical time in the development of her company, she had some obstacles that were really pretty insurmountable. Now, as to the question of who was a millionaire,
yes.
As a journalist and as a historian, I'm really careful about this. And here's what I can say. When Madam Walker died, in May of 1919, she was worth $1 million. We have documents. The estate had to be probated. They had to pay taxes. So her personal worth was between $600,000 and $700,000 during that period of time. It would be millions now, equal to millions now. The worth of her company, based on the sales of the last 2 years of her life, would have been somewhere between $1 million and $2 million. A lot more today translated in today's dollars. We can document that to say at the time of her death, she was a millionaire. With Malone, based on what I can see in newspaper articles, based on a lawsuit that one of her employees brought against her in 1915, I cannot see that she was a millionaire at that point. In 1927, when she and her husband were getting divorced, the newspapers call her company a million-dollar company. So that is really the first time that that appears in the news coverage. There is, and I would just add one more thing, that when she died in 1957, there was a newspaper article, either in the Chicago Defender or the Pittsburgh Courier, that says her company was worth $14 million. That number, I think, is pulled out of thin air. And by the time she died in 57, there was, you know, the company, she'd gone through bankruptcy and tax issues and all that kind of thing. So I don't think that that was an accurate number, and there's no documentation. So my conclusion is they were both really great women. They were competitors. They had a really fierce competition. And, you know, and I think Madam Walker was a millionaire. I know she was a millionaire when she died in 1919. I have not seen documentation for Malone.
Well, I have to say, I thank you, Alelia Bundles, for setting the record straight right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It has been, those are questions and, like I said, myths and innuendos and all kinds of rumors and everything that has just floated in this arena, you know, for a long, long time. And
people are fierce when they talk about this.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I've met quite a few. And it's still exciting. That's, you know, it's always good to be being talked about. So,
they were both philanthropists. They really,
yes,
you know, they empowered women. So, and Madam Walker even said at one point, I wish that we could get beyond the ill feeling.
Wow. Oh, this is going to be a juicy TV series. So look for this on Netflix. Again, it's based on your book. And, you know, I just want to remind everybody, make certain, you know, to pick up your books. You've written several out there. You have the new biography coming
right, on Alelia Walker next year.
Oh, okay, that's the biography. Okay.
Right, now, right, yeah. So that one I'm almost finished with.
Okay. Well, now, what would you like to leave us? When you talk about, you know, the hair care industry and where we are now and whether it's product-related or the legacy that you so stand and, you know, so proudly in that light, what would you like to tell folks? What anything you want to leave us with today that really kind of sums it all up and brings it on home?
Well, you know, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. It's just really a pleasure to talk with you and to know about the important work that you are doing. And I think we're in a really amazing time in terms of black women and hair. We have gone through the hair wars. We've gone back and forth. We've had this and we've had that.
Yes.
And now I think we're at a point where there are so many wonderful products that really address the textures of our hair that it has given us the freedom to be able to create the most amazing styles. You know, I'm, again, a child of the 60s, and so we went from that transition from perms and hot combs to afros, and we had sort of one style. It was, you know, Angela Davis, and that was it. It was either a long afro with a blowout or a short one. And so, but now I look at what especially young women are doing with everything from, you know, hair color and amazing braids and natural hair and short and long and twisted and, you know, it's fantastic. And I think that I love that Madam Walker has a little bit of a part to play in where we are, and I love that we have the freedom and the confidence and, you know, the courage to do all kinds of things with our hair and be proud of ourselves.
Well, I have to say, you are definitely carrying that torch beautifully.
Thank you.
And you are. So, Alelia Bundles, I want to thank you so very much for being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And you have so many things for us to look out for. And so we're going to have you come back soon. And when the TV series comes out, come back and visit us and kind of bring us up to speed on everything.
Absolutely. You can count on it.
Terrific. Well, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us, and thanks so much.
is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Hi, everybody. It's Carrie Hines. And in honor of our 600th episode celebration, we're playing some of our classic interviews and sharing some behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, the Hair Radio Morning Show has chronicled our lives, mixing great hair and beauty talk with current events and shaping each broadcast with music and special guests. I want to thank you and to our amazing sponsors and advertisers. Now, let's take a listen back together.
If you missed any part of today's live 3-hour broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show, listen to the show playbacks around the clock at hairradio.com.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It is Friday morning. It's July 16, 2021. We're coming up on about 8:45 in the morning here, New York time, that is, 7:45 Central Time Zone. And I want to bring back to the line the lady who helps us nowadays for all the fort down right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, I should say. Tara, good morning. Good morning again. And thanks
good
so much
morning,
for being with
Carrie.
Us.
Yes, I'm still here. Day three.
Awesome,
I'm still here.
Awesome. Yeah, so I'm dying to know. Now, was that setting the record straight or what? Okay.
Oh, my gosh. She set several records straight. I mean, I knew about the hot comb not being invented by Madam C.J. Barker, but there are some people who will go toe-to-toe. Yes, she
well,
did.
Well, they still do.
Because
they
my
still
grandmother
do, yeah.
said, she said it straight.
I love
she said
that.
It straight.
I she
loved
said
every
it straight.
Moment of that interview. Yeah, I love
listen,
every
let me just tell
second.
You this and our mm-hmm. listeners. What I often have on the radio show, a lot of folks, and mm-hmm. Several recount stories about different things. And I have so much in our archives that I literally can play the track with whoever it is that they're usually talking about without mm-hmm. with ease. Because we've talked with everybody. We've gone to the source, whether it is Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, whether mm-hmm. it is the folks out who run the Madam Walker, what's left of the Madam Walker's legacy in terms of where she had her original factory in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
They've been on our show.
Yeah.
The Annie Malone folks have been on our show. Several different factors from those folks out there. Her parade
yeah.
that still goes on. They've been on our show. We've had everybody come through the doors at Hair Radio. If you
mm-hmm.
are in this hair business and you are serious about what you're doing, you make it. We're the 60 minutes of the hair industry in terms of broadcasting radio. And that
yeah.
is why I'm so proud of this show. So that,
yeah.
Being able to just pull Alelia right on out and let her tell you what this is all about. And so I love
yeah.
that. And it, just to follow with what you said. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I kind of interrupted you there. You're going to get
okay.
used to that on this show. But what were your
thoughts? Okay.
Your
you
time.
Know, I,
what
I
were your thoughts?
I just wanted to say, yeah, I just wanted to say, oh, my gosh, she is such an amazing soul. I've seen, you know, pictures of her. I've seen,
yeah.
you know, not a lot of interviews, but I've always been interested in her story, which I'm hoping one day she actually writes a book about her life and how she got to that point where she
true,
felt as though
true.
That story needed to be told. And I'm just pleased to see her carry her great-great-grandmother's legacy through her books. I mean, they have mm-hmm. told her story. I mean, she's told her story over the years. And Alelia Bundle's book was first written in 1991. I had no idea about that. And it's so
yeah.
impressive
yeah.
to see her continue to still write her family's legacy.
Well, Alelia,
to this day is so inspiring.
Yes. Well, she worked at ABC, and I think she was also at NBC. She's got a long career in broadcasting herself and writing and all that
book.
Stuff. This
she
is,
does.
Yeah, she's
she needs
very...
to write her book.
Now, one of my favorite real-life memories is when we were at in Atlantic City. You guys know I do the big hair events, live and in-person hair events
mm-hmm.
in Atlantic City. If you are interested in that, you can go to hairnationexpo.biz. Again, www.hairnationexpo.biz, and it'll tell you all about our upcoming, our next live hair event. Now,
yes.
Alelia did
mm-hmm.
our show back in 2019. And she, Alelia and I, we invited a lot of local high schools. A lot of the kids, the cosmetology kids, they come to our live hair shows. So I always
mm-hmm.
have them there. And Alelia and I were standing there greeting these kids, these students. And you should see their eyes, their faces just lit up when she and I would talk
mm-hmm.
about her great-great-grandmother. And it's just a memory that I will never forget. And to have her, I remember later we had a big VIP a private party in my quarters for all the folks at the, you know, who are there at the live hair, the hair show behind
mm-hmm.
the scenes. And she was there with all these luminaries just telling amazing stories. You know, folks, I just want you to be aware. I think that's why this program has persevered, why it has grown, because there is
mm-hmm.
nothing quite like Hair Radio, nothing
mm-hmm.
quite like Hair Nation Expo. We're doing original work for the hair and beauty industry.
Yeah.
We are the advocates for these folks. We love them, we support them, and we do things from the heart. And I think that's what resonates. And so, Tara, you are a perfect fit for what we're doing here. So we are so happy to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just heard from Del.
I'm glad, to jump in the trenches with you because, like you said, these stories.
You've been thrown in the trenches. Yes. We just threw you right on the end.
Yeah.
True. Well, let me say this. Delta Airlines, I just heard back from them, so all that will be updated on our website. Delta Airlines provides a discount. So if you're traveling to our event coming up in October 23rd, 24th, 25th of 2021, so this year, we're doing our big event at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So Delta Airlines is a sponsor for folks traveling, and you get a big discount when you book through Delta through our website at hairnationexpo.biz. And then also, we got the Budget Rent-A-Car also. They give us a big discount for folks who are driving. Rent-A-Car from Budget, you guys know they are the best. So a lot of folks support what we're doing. We have amazing folks. Wanted to shout out to a new gentleman who's going to be heading
mm-hmm.
up our radio station here at Hair Nation Expo, where we have our 24-hour broadcasting network. So, folks, if you're interested in advertising, having your own radio show commercial, even your own radio show production, we're able to do a whole bunch here at Hair Radio. We created this genre. We created this lane,
mm-hmm.
and we do it best. And so I'm so grateful, and I thank you guys. You know, so I wanted to say, Tara, also, we want to take a moment before we close out the week. I have to take some time to acknowledge these folks who have helped us to make it to this point. And also, before I get to the folks who helped us sponsor and advertise, coming up next week, when we do some flashbacks, I'm going to get on some of my favorite interviews with Beyonce's dad, Matthew Knowles, who was a guest right here on our show. That was very special. We'll get that on.
Mm-hmm.
The Gorilla Glue Doctor. He was my biggest interview in the history of my career. The Gorilla Glue Doctor. I wonder why, right? Well, I had a chance to be on live with him out in Beverly Hills.
Amazing.
And he tells us about how he helped Tessica Brown. So listen, Hair Radio, we are the real deal, folks. We've got them. If you've ever wanted to know who they are, you've parked it and you found the right place at the
at
our broadcast.
They hear the real story. That
they
is
hear the
so
real story.
This
yeah.
radio station
yeah.
to hear the
Thank
real
you.
Story. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, next week we're getting on some other favorites. I've got in the coming weeks I'll be replaying my favorite interviews with Dionne Warwick, Melba Moore, Allison Williams, Cece Peniston, Tony Terry, who had a big hit
yes.
called With You, which I used to love that
yes.
song.
Yes.
And all these huge superstars, including there's one I'm going to dig up, some of our reality TV stars, you know, Cynthia from, the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Oh, she was with us as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Cynthia Bailey. My goodness, she'll kill me. Yeah, Cynthia Bailey was with us on our broadcast on this very show. So we'll dig up some of those interviews. Also, Marlo Hampton from, at that time, we had Marlo before she was on as a regular on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, if I can speak.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on with us, so we'll get that dug up for you. We have so many wonderful things to share as we continue to celebrate. Well, this is coming up on 600 shows. So I'm going to give you the, tell us. Yeah, 600. So again, you guys who have just kind of discovered Hair Radio, Tara is our brand new co-host in the morning. So
Yay!
I call you Tara in the morning. So what, again, Tara, take us through this. What, is your sentiment this morning? What has the week been like, again? I would imagine a little bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah,
we plucked you from. We're gonna take all the credit from plucking you from anonymity to a worldwide platform here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. You got a front row seat to the big stars now. What are you thinking when you hear that?
Oh my gosh, this week has been fabulous. It's been long. It's been interesting. It's been educational. It's been informal. Oh, my gosh, it has just been so fabulous. And the one thing, and you said something so key, you know, you get this front seat to listen and meet these amazing, you know, entrepreneurs and, you know, stars and all of that. And that part is wonderful. But what I am now learning, my own perception of this company, what I am now learning is that we're on this air to give you truths. Not just to hear the celebrity side of these people, but what they've gone through, what they've struggled, what they've overcome to now become the success stories that they are, not to gloat on them, but to inspire you, to encourage you.
Guess
that
what,
is what
Tara?
I am getting from this show.
We are going to add one more name to that list, and that is the name of Tara. Tara, we are going to add you to that list. We are so honored. You're doing a fantastic job. You've been wonderful this week on the radio show. I've had many, many folks to come and go, and we're so proud to welcome you. Not only that,
Thank
for you listeners
you.
Out there, as I tell folks, I know that you have a big choice of folks, things to do in the morning. You can, you know, do anything but tune in, and you guys join us every day. You start the radio show with us at 6 o'clock in the morning. You stay with us till 9 o'clock when you're going through the door at those jobs. And we love it. So we want to hear from you. Reach out to us.
Yeah.
Contact us. Go to our websites. You guys have two separate websites. We have one that talks to our event. Again, that's hairnationexpo.biz. And the other where you get to listen around the clock to our network. And that's at www.hairradio.com. But I do want to be clear, Hair Radio is never spelled with two R's. It's HairRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
So go to hairradio.com and you can play our shows. Now, this particular broadcast today, if you missed any part or joined us a little bit later or what have you, you know, don't worry. We've got you covered. This broadcast will replay in its entirety coming up at noon and again at 3 o'clock today. So you can listen to the entire broadcast from end to end and pick out your favorite parts. And then after that, we're going to get on some music. I usually will kind of schedule in some music for give you a chance to kind of catch your breath, and then we'll throw in some wonderful things that you haven't heard right here for the Hair Radio Morning Show. Coming up next week, brand new shows with new folks joining us. We have an amazing lineup. Smooth Black will be back on Wednesday.
Yay!
I think we have a little, we've got some folks joining us on Tuesday, just some things for the community. Mm-hmm. At 8:30. We are launching a new vet show talking about veterans. So I don't want people to think it's not about animals, it's about veterans. And that comes up, you got to make sure people are clear. That comes up on Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning, and it'll replay on our 24-hour network. And we've got some surprises for you as well. I have an announcement next week with some very, very well-known folks who are their industry leaders, without even a doubt. So they'll be with
us
next week.
So we have to be here for next week.
You've got to wait for that. So I want to give you – absolutely. So I want to give you the last word this morning. Tara, our wonderful new co-host, what inspirational words might you want to share with everybody this week to carry us on through the weekend? And remember that we'll be with you live. Now, let me make clear, we'll be back 6 o'clock in the morning. Our next live broadcast is Tuesday morning. Monday, we usually run a repeat broadcast. So join us again 6 in the morning. From 6 to 9 Tuesday morning for the next live broadcast with Tara and me, Carrie Hines. So wanted to make sure that was clear. And what words would you kind of leave us with? We didn't get a chance to do the Let Your Spirit Soar, so maybe you can give us the Let Your Spirit. Yeah, well, go ahead. We have a minute.
We got 30 seconds to do this. Okay, so yes. It is time for your Let Your Spirit Soar, which is one of my favorite parts of the segment. It is actually an inspirational word that I actually came up with, and these words are to inspire, uplift, and give you a positive dose simply of inspiration. And my inspirational word of today is dream the dream bigger.
Wow. I think that's the perfect way to end the show. So listen, we'll see you back here next week, folks. Tara, great job. Love that. Dream the dream bigger. Okay. We'll see you back next week, folks. Make it an awesome weekend. Great job.
Happy Friday.
I'm going to end out with CeCe Peniston.